about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh! A radio!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, we first found out about dolphin birth or dolphin-assisted midwife and midwifery out of the ancient secrets of the flower of life. John Velo Melchizedek, you know, and I read it about a year or two ago, and I was like, that when I first read it, I knew that was, if I'm going to do this, this is what I want to do. This is, there could be no other way. This is the most incredible thing, you know, like, you know, being connected with the animal, being consciousness, you know, everything, just being one, you know, and fully understanding that, you know, is pretty incredible.
And now,
stop it right now.
Our feature presentation.
I could not love that couple more. I really couldn't.
We got to stay in touch with them and figure out, you know, when the birth is happening and if the dolphin eats the baby and what the result of that plan is.
Oh, they're just so great. They mean stuff so much, and they fully believe in what they're doing. They think they've really stumbled onto the answer.
Yeah.
Yep. There's only one way. Once they found out about it, it's the only possible way they could have a baby. You know that.
I love that.
And it was a sign after they emailed that company in Hawaii that does it, and they got an email back. Well, that's just the Lord stepping in and
that
telling them it's the way.
Because
they did get an email back. So clearly, there's no other way around that.
I love it.
Hey, party people, welcome in to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday, 4th of June. Got a great story to get us started here. This is a man named Brian Whitehead. He lives in Quebec, Canada, and he's at his local watering hole, place called Lloyd's. And the bartender is clearing some glasses from outside, from the outdoor deck, and he sees the guy leaning down and holding something. Couldn't quite see what it was, but holding something under a woman's skirt.
Oh.
Okay.
And that's a thing, I guess, that girls have to be aware of these days, right? If they're wearing a skirt, you hear about stories of people putting, you know, like mirrors on their shoes, or they've got little cameras or something like that, and they take pictures underneath, see what's going on.
That's quite a level.
See what's going on.
That's quite a level of creepy right there.
What exactly is going on?
It is. Well, I don't do it anymore at all, so I just want you to know that I moved on. Right. So anyway, so the bartender sees what he thinks he sees, and just to double check, he goes and checks out the surveillance camera, and sure enough, that's what he sees. So the guy is gone at this point. He shows the video to the woman. She's outraged. She's, of course, horrified by what happened. Nobody wants anyone peeking, right? So they put up the man's picture, and the next time he comes into the bar, apparently he's a frequent visitor. The next time he comes into the bar, they call the police, and he gets arrested.
Right.
And he is charged with an act outraging public decency, is what they call in Canada. He claims, guys, that's not what was going on. I know you saw me bend down and hold something under the woman's skirt, but wait, you think I was trying to take a picture of her junk?
He has a different explanation?
I'm insulted that you would suggest that would cross my mind. I don't even have a camera on my cell phone, he said. Absolutely not. That's not what I was doing.
What could he possibly have said he was doing then?
Let's think on our feet now and see what you can come up with. If you're going to somehow deny that you were taking, you know, vagina pictures, what are you doing instead?
What are you doing instead?
What kind of app does he have exactly?
I don't know, but I need it, first of all.
I
mean, nothing's coming to mind.
Disease?
I mean, this is a tough one. I mean, this is one of those where you're pretty much just caught red-handed, right? And like, they've seen you.
Yeah.
And what on earth can you possibly come up with? He came up with something that he tried to float as what was really going on.
I don't know.
I don't either. I'm baffled.
Beer Monkey, you got anything?
Please.
That's, maybe she was dropping money and he had a money. I don't know.
You're trying. Well, here's the hint that'll break it wide open for you.
Right.
Adam Carolla might have tried this same defense.
Adam Carolla might have tried this defense. Adam Carolla.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he claimed that he was trying to light her farts on fire with a lighter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear God.
And you know how much the Iceman loves latent farts,
he
right?
Sure
That's
does.
His favorite thing in the world.
Always as funny as the first time.
Yep. He said, I don't remember it clearly. I don't know what I was doing. I believe I had a Clipper cigarette lighter, a black one, and it was still in my hand after just having a cigarette. Maybe I was trying to light her fart. Maybe I was bet $5 by someone else in the bar that I couldn't light her fart. He claimed afterwards, by the way, that he might have been too drunk to remember, and he might have been joking when he said that, but that was his defense when the police arrested him and brought him down.
How much gas is coming out of her?
I'm certain none was coming out of her, but that's, you got to give the guy credit. Look, he's super drunk. You got to give the guy credit for thinking on his feet and coming up with a plan, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
He said that he had drank 6 to 8 pints of Stella Lager a day for 20 years.
Oh,
by the way,
God.
This guy. So he was a super regular. How do you go back to that? I guess he thought he got away with it. That's how he was able to go back to that bar and not be worried
caught
about
him or whatever.
Being offended. But yeah, so that's the old, I was just trying to light her farts with a lighter, not taking an upskirt photo. That's that defense.
That
again.
Old thing.
Man, that one
so
gets overused, huh?
Stories like that. So good times, right?
All right.
Oh, Canada.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Go. Period. Period. Yourself. Exclamation point.
All right. Petros Papadakis will be here talking sports.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully not too bad for it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Cillian Salcedo will be here. She, of course, is one who created Taboo on MTV, so we're going to talk to her.
Okay.
We have movie tickets for Superman we're going to give away today.
Excellent.
We have True Life, also on MTV, with an episode called, and we love this, I'm Too Beautiful.
It's the world that needs to change, not me.
It's the world that needs to change, not
me. Can't wait.
I'm just too hot for life.
She's the best.
We can fix it. We can
love
fix
her so
you.
Much.
Face full of acid.
Right.
Right.
You're not going to ever want to talk about anything else once you hear the beautiful little Dana.
I love it. And also in the studio today, lead singer of Queens of the Stone Age, Josh Homme.
Sweet.
How about that? In the 7 o'clock hour this morning, we'll take
the Ginger Elvis, as they call him in
the
Britain.
Ginger Elvis, yeah. We'll talk about that, and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next on the World Famous Kid.
By the way, we're 20 minutes into the first show, and I have a first apology and correction. Apparently, it's not Wednesday. I've been informed.
What?
Okay.
I know, it was Wednesday,
right?
And I thought,
it seemed confusing, but I just was like, maybe.
Well, I wasn't confused at all. In my mind, it was Wednesday, but the Kevin and Bean listeners are quick to pounce if there's an error made, so I do want to apologize.
Well,
that's
kind of a big one.
It is.
I don't want to screw anybody else's
being
day up.
Being that it's Thursday and all.
Happy.
Right.
They're not being picky, I don't think.
No.
I'm not complaining. Look, I it's my error. I regret the error. That's why I wanted to apologize. But
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm confused because August is just flying by, I guess. Anyway, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
Well, speaking of corrections, retractions.
More?
Well, not from me, thank God. This time, it's from Michael Douglas's representatives.
Backing off of his awesome story, huh?
He's not backing off. It turns out the interviewer with the London Guardian newspaper effed up.
Really?
And Michael's representatives produced an audio tape of the interview, which was very different from what they published.
So that's not what he really said?
He said that regarding head, neck, and throat cancer, that people are getting it from the HPV virus. But at no time in the interview did he claim that he himself got it from oral sex.
Oh. That's very different.
Very different, yeah.
So did his wife have a talking to with him? Is that what happened?
You did not get it from that.
Clear my name.
Michael's representative, Alan Burry, said the interview was misinterpreted and then revealed the tape of the interview, which clearly shows Michael just stating a fact that some people are contracting various cancers from the HPV virus, but he had no time claim that he did, so.
I wonder if that's just bad transcription or if that's somebody who intentionally tried to just make a great headline with, I got it from oral sex, which is because they put that quote in his mouth.
Yeah.
It's not the only thing that was in his mouth, apparently, but I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Guardian is
shaky?
Shaky.
Yeah.
It's shaky. Meanwhile, Michael's ex-wife, Deandra Douglas, has released a statement to TMZ saying she doesn't have HPV.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we know he's had sex with tons of people.
We're not thinking about you.
No.
Go away.
Exactly.
Don't like you. Let's say you're in New York and you're skateboarding through Brooklyn.
All right.
And you're not watching where you're going. And you hit two guys. You run into two guys.
Okay.
You fall out. You fall over. You look up. And the two men that you've hit are Daniel Day-Lewis and Benicio Del Toro. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I would think your life is about over.
They're going to drink your milkshake at that point, right?
Yeah.
And then the other guy's going to wolfman out on you, and it's all lights out.
A little scary.
But this guy tells the New York Post that they couldn't have been nicer.
Huh.
He recognized them, started talking to them. He is an aspiring actor. He promptly apologized. They had a little conversation with the two A-listers, and then they wished him luck and sent him on his way. They said he could not have been nicer, fellas.
How about
that? So there's no lawsuit happening?
No lawsuit, nothing. Wow.
Huh.
Yeah, great. It's nice when celebrities are better than you expect. Because so often it is, it's the opposite. Here's another case of a celebrity going out of her way to be a good person. Scarlett Johansson on the set of the new Captain America film stepped in when producers were ready to fire a female extra who showed up on the set with a big baby bump. She was pregnant. And the producer said, we can't have a pregnant woman in the scene. It doesn't make any sense, and we're going to have to send you on your way. Well, Scarlett overheard them and stepped in and asked her to asked that the girl be kept, rewrote the scene that where she would be, and then suggested she sit behind a table so that her pregnancy wouldn't show, but at least this way the girl wouldn't lose the gig.
Well, that's cool.
So
she was very nice,
gracious and saved the girl a payday. Which is
I sort of have a boner.
And for those of you who want to be on American Idol, here's a story that proves there is entertainment success after Idol. Even if you don't make it to the top one or two, you can have a career.
Okay.
Nathaniel Marshall was in the top 36 on American Idol back in season 8. He's got a brand new career.
Is top 36 a thing?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, all right.
That's what they start with. I think that's the group they start with.
Oh, okay.
He is now in gay porn.
Yeah! I see. Okay.
Nathaniel now goes by the name Jaden Daniels. And he is in the new flick, Men Caught on Video 2, if you want to check that out at your video store. Maybe you want to
seen it.
Pop that. You like Men Caught on Video 2?
That's a good one. Yeah.
And Johnny Depp wants Amber Heard to be his and his alone.
Oh.
Star Magazine reports that he has asked Amber to stop dating other people, men and women, and to see him exclusively, and they report that she has finally agreed.
Yeah.
Why stop her dating other women? What's the problem there?
I agree
just
with
if you. If you bring them home, then everything's everything.
But if he says it, it happens.
Well, he's Johnny Depp.
He's Johnny Depp.
For God's sakes.
I don't like that story at all.
No, she should be with me.
What they're doing to Amber's not right.
He's keeping her from going back to the Playboy Club set.
Talking about Miss Nick so
2.0.
Much. Miss him.
It is Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD for your entertainment dollar. Really quickly, here's what you can pick up. Like Clockworks, Queens of the Stone Age new CD drops today.
7 a.m. So good, you guys. So
I
good.
Wish we had someone to talk to about
7
that.
7 a.m.
You guys, once again,
Josh
drop
Homme.
The ball, and you have no one that we can talk to
well,
from
lead
Queens
singer,
of the Stone Age.
Creator.
Good Day to Die Hard on DVD. Anyone have any interest in Good Day to Die Hard?
Not even a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Warm Bodies, the zombie romantic comedy with Nicholas Holt and Teresa Palmer and John Malkovich, also available today. Identity Thief, Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy.
That was funny.
Funny little film. You can check that out today if you missed it. The Animated Escape from Planet Earth with Brendan Fraser and James Gandolfini. Also available today. Breaking Bad Season 5.
Get it.
Falling Skies Season 2 and Pretty Little Liars Season 3. Are your TV shows on DVD. You can check that out. Also, by the way, I forgot when I mentioned CDs, In a Tidal Wave of Mystery by Capital Cities. And The Sun Comes Out Tonight by Filter, if you want to check those out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bar Raffaelli's 28 years old today. Angelina Jolie is 38 years old today. Russell Brand turns 38 as well. Stefan Lessard of the Dave Matthews Band is 39. Noah Wiley, talking about Falling Skies, 42 years old today. Scott Wolf, very talented actor from Party of Five back in the day, and V, 45 years old today. Al B. Shure, the singer, is also 45. But the reason we celebrate today, and we're out of time now, but come on back and I'll treat you some magic. El DeBarge is 52 years old today.
Man. Today is the happiest day of your whole year.
El!
Today He's we the celebrate best El.
Ralph does this every day, every year, because El DeBarge is the biggest.
The best DeBarge.
The biggest nobody
he
ever.
He is the biggest and best DeBarge. Bean is right.
Absolutely.
In this particular case. He is. That's right. Come on.
Cheesy-ass pop song.
How can that not make you happy, Kevin? People turning on their radios right now, hopping out of bed.
dancing the way to the shower, making a cup of coffee. Come on, this is good morning music. Good morning, everybody.
Frickin' awesome.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I was beginning to think we'd never have the chance to see Eminem again in concert in our lifetime. That guy has just gone underground, but he is reemerging for destination number 3 of K-Rock's Festival Flyaway, which is the Reading Festival in London. He's playing along with Green Day, System of a Down, The Lumineers, Imagine Dragons, Phoenix, and more. Got a chance for you to get on the standby boarding list at 9:10 this morning and every morning this week here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and then throughout the day various times, too. You can get all the details at krock.com.
You know who's not playing the Reading Festival that should be?
Who?
Jaden Smith.
Oh, yeah. We're missing a big one.
He's a talent.
Yesterday, we went through Jaden's rap song, The Coolest.
Yeah.
And, wow. Holy cow, is he bad.
It's the coolest of the coolest. It's the smoothest of the smoothest. It's the crudest and the rudest of the stupid kids. Mr. Vicious with his missus blowing kisses to his mistress and his missus blowing riches like some hooligans. I wasn't tripping. I just listened to these women when they sipping on them juices. They say Jaden, yeah, he's too legit. And I be flipping because they slipping and they dipping in the pool. They say I'm cool and they be drooling because I'm super rich. I might be tripping.
Super rich.
Now,
too
do
legit.
You? I have to ask, do you hate this because you know it's Jaden Smith and he's annoying because he's a 14-year-old
yes.
kid?
That's part of it.
I think it's a lot of that.
Because if you heard this rap and it was by somebody you'd never heard it before and didn't know anything about, do you think you would hate it just based on the rap skills?
Probably not.
You just hate him and his personality.
It's that and it's also the lyrics are him bragging about how all right. women say he's too legit and how he's yeah. so rich. And
right.
you know for a fact
that he's a punk-ass kid who
yes.
got born into the right multimillionaire family.
That he's Will Smith's kid. That's why he's rich. So don't,
exactly.
If Will Smith raps about being rich, fine. Because
right.
he earned it.
Mm-hmm.
F you, JD.
But at least
yeah.
Will Smith tries. I mean, this guy's like,
oh, that's his style.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins, after hearing Jaden Smith's terrible song and his annoying rap, I think I need to hear a conversation between Jaden and Bob Dylan. Can we make that happen? Rick from Brentwood. Rick. I believe we can.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean's.
Instant request.
All right. He says it there, and it comes out here. Let's say good morning to Bob Dylan, who I believe joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
Well, it's always good to hear from you as well, Bob. We're going to bring in now Jaden Smith. He's on the other line. Jaden, hello. Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. Can you hear us?
I'm the coolest of the coolest and the people on the phone, and they call me because I'm always not too legit.
All right, good. Welcome you to the program. Bob, do you know anything? Do you know anything about Jaden Smith? Are you familiar with his work at all?
Yeah, it is. Will Smith.
Will Smith, yeah.
Jaden Pinkett.
Right. Right, his mom.
And they get
it. That's right. Right.
And then Jaden Smith.
Right.
Right. That's,
okay,
how
that's
he
him.
All right. And let me ask you, Jaden, because there's quite a, you know, a 60-year age difference between you guys. Are you familiar with Bob Dylan at all?
I'm the killers of the people who are listening on the people with the Dylans and the records and the record biz. And I've never gone to people with the, all of them together, and I don't even know who the hell Dylan is.
Bob, do you have any advice for a young singer-songwriter, you know, kind of just getting started with his career and how to make it in the music business?
Is that a song?
Yeah, well, I believe it is. That's his hit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I got his advice.
Okay.
Don't. You don't know about me because I'm just too legit. And I don't care really or I give a And I'm going to it and it went the coolest, fullest, and then pickless, endless, coolest, moolest.
I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean?
Yeah, really. Jade, what the hell are you talking about? It's weird.
I just take a word, put them all together, and I sing another thing coming to my head.
Right.
And I'm singing, and the words are coming out my mouth. And I go in west and east and north and then south. That is horrible.
That is horrible, right, Bob?
And I wrote, oh, you bomb.
Go away, bomb. Yeah,
right.
Go
away, you bomb.
You did. You wrote that. And yet you're saying this song maybe not for the masses.
He sucks.
So
I don't care what you say about me because I'm too legit. All the girls look at me and they give me lip because I'm putting all the people in the swimming pool. And I go as in the singing and I'm so cool.
Do without
I'm going to kill this kid.
You should. Yeah.
What looks better than this new Superman movie, Man of Steel, by the way?
Very little.
It's going to be amazing. It's opening up a week from Friday. You can see it a week from tonight. It's a K-Rock screening. We're going to give away some tickets right now. If you're a Superman fan, you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. But you're going to have to earn them a little bit because our man Ralph Garman is also a Superman fan. And you can't stump him. That's what I'm here to say. You can't stump our own Ralph Garman with Superman trivia, but you can try 1-800-520-1067. If you do, you win some tickets to the exclusive K-Rock screening 1 week from tonight to see Man of Steel.
This is not like when we have Rodney in and you stump him and you pretty much can ask any question and get in. Yeah. Ralph knows his Superman.
This is so. For real. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's no Batman, but he's right. Pretty up to speed with his Superman, too. All right, let's turn our attention to True Life, which is back on MTV. This is the show where they take people who they got something going on in their life that's interesting to the viewers, like you're gay and you're in the closet. They do a show on that. Or you've been living at home, you're 28 and you haven't moved out of the house yet. You've got to get away from your parents. I mean, they do spotlights on people who just have interesting stories. And the one that just aired over the weekend that you guys are going to love so much is called It Sucks Being Pretty.
Aww.
Oh, it sucks being pretty.
Another one of those poor girls.
I'm just too hot and I don't know what to do.
Oh, my life is so miserable. Her name is Dana, no last name given. She is 21 years old. She lives in Illinois. And yes, she is very pretty. But I'm going to tell you, if you guys look her up or see this episode, you see 25 girls hotter than her every day.
Oh, really? Wow.
For whatever reason, it's extraordinarily difficult to be Dana.
I get anything I want, basically. I literally get treated like a princess. And I don't really have to be that smart, I guess, because I have my looks, which is true.
You're going to learn to hate her and her voice, by the way. Seriously, though, you guys don't know how tough it is for her.
But at the same time, it sucks being pretty because it would be nice if people took me seriously once in a while.
That's all she's asking, guys, is just take me seriously once in a while.
But she said the sentence before, I don't have to be smart because I'm hot.
Right.
Yes. Yes. She is nothing but contradictions, this girl. Let's find out what it was like for poor, beautiful Dana growing up, shall we?
When I was younger, I always had people telling me how pretty I was, and it made me feel good. But when I got to high school, things changed. I got so much attention from the guys, but I didn't get along with any of the girls. They were extremely jealous of me. I would have hate mail, like, you should just go kill yourself. It got so bad to the point that I just stopped going to school.
Now, what is that about, Lisa? Do girls have problems with pretty girls, or do they just have problems with pretty girls who have terrible personalities?
I think it would be B.
I do too, right?
I have lots of friends who in high school were very pretty, and a lot of them were really popular. Mm-hmm. But they were getting hate mail.
But if they don't have that attitude,
right,
then they'll make everyone mad.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, there are lots of females that are celebrities. They're gorgeous. You know, Alison Brie comes to mind as just one example off the top of my head, who's somebody who's stunningly beautiful, but is so nice that everybody loves her because she's got a great sense of humor and she's, you know, grounded in the whole deal. It's possible to be both, to be pretty and to be liked.
This girl
right?
could be the hottest woman in the world and I would dislike her.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, wait till you hear how she tried to ugly it up, because it's a curse being so good looking. You
sure.
know? So it's not like she didn't try to be less attractive, you guys.
I went through a phase where I tried to downplay my looks. I dyed my hair brown, but that didn't help at all.
I love that, by the way.
I dyed my hair brown
because everybody knows if you don't have blonde hair, you're a dog. Right?
That is weird because beauty really is mostly in the face, I would guess.
Maybe just don't wear makeup, don't wear tight clothes.
Well, let's see if she tried any of that.
I tried gaining as much weight as I could, but I just cannot gain weight for the life of me.
Wow.
So okay, I hate her.
Problems.
Why does God hate me? I can't gain weight.
I try so hard to make myself ugly, but I can't do it. I'm always so beautiful. Now I can't even gain weight.
I'm so skinny.
Well, you can imagine that dating is very difficult for little Dana. She's got nothing but problems when she goes out.
I never go out on blind dates, but my friend has been raving about this guy, so I thought I'll give it a try.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh,
yeah. I always get nervous when I meet you guys. I was really hoping Dom would try to get to know me tonight, but he couldn't keep his hands off me. I couldn't wait for this night to be over. I'm hoping to find love someday, but when you look like me, it's not easy.
Oh, girlfriend. Look. I got news for you. That boy wasn't keeping his hands off any girl. Right. It wasn't because you were so freaking beautiful.
Although, having said
he's
that,
just grabby.
I can imagine that guys act that way around her more than other girls, maybe, because she's hot.
Maybe.
I can understand that.
Although we also hear that really attractive women sometimes
never
don't have anybody come up
right.
to them because
right.
they're too intimidating.
Wow, she sucks.
Look,
anyone
not
who
in
says,
a good way.
Anyone who says, I can't find love because I'm too beautiful should try to find love when you're too ugly, by the way.
Right,
there's
yeah.
a lot worse problems that you could have. All right, couple more clips here again. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the new MTV True Life episode with Dana, 21 years old. Her life is miserable because she's just so doggone pretty. This is the most confusing thing that you will hear Dana say. Now, you've already heard for a couple of minutes how tough her life is the way she looks now, right?
Right.
Explain to me why she would say this.
I've been thinking about getting breast implants. I feel like I'm be more beautiful with bigger boobs.
Okay, are what? You too beautiful or are you not beautiful enough, Dana? What's happening? Now she wants to get bigger boobs. Because
but
that's
I need to take her seriously.
But
no,
that's how
well,
you
yes.
keep the boys away, is to get huge knockers,
she
right?
She wants to not be so hot because it's such a negative. But she's right. going to get bigger boobs because she's going to be more hot.
Yes, she is definitely hawked up. I think face full of acid may be the answer.
Wow.
Well, she's got problems with her sister Nikki, as you can imagine, because Nikki is kind of average looking.
Not
and
as
there's
hot,
a great,
right?
a great deal of resentment between the two, and sure. she does address that on the show.
You look hot right now. But without makeup, you look beautiful.
Well, that conversation went as I expected. Nikki just doesn't get it. I should be as beautiful as I want to be. It's the world that needs a change, not me.
Yes,
even
right.
though I try to act like I don't care, it does bother me that my looks get in the way of finding a boyfriend that treats me well. So I decided to see a therapist to get some advice about what I can do about it. The therapist made me realize fixing my relationship with Nikki would make me much happier. I'm really glad that I finally opened up to Nikki. Since we had that talk, Nikki and I have been getting along better.
Okay. By the way, how much do you hate her voice?
It's annoying as hell.
The worst.
Oh, my God. She just talks like this all the time.
And the therapist said that I should be ugly.
So the therapist says you've got to try to patch up this relationship with your sister. So what they concoct is that they're going to go out together, but Dana is not going to tart it up. She's not going to wear the crazy makeup, and she's not going to do her hair all up and wear the tightest possible thing and the tallest possible heels. In other words, she's going to dress down a little
wow,
bit.
Wow, that's
so she
big.
Doesn't, so she doesn't attract all the attention away from her sister. Let's see how that went.
When I walk into a bar, I'm used to every guy staring at me, but that's not happening tonight. I feel really weird going out looking like this, but I want Nikki to see that I'm not the stuck-up sister that she thinks I am. I had a fun night with Nikki. I think she does feel more confident being around me when I don't have all the makeup on and I'm not all dressed up. I went out one night without makeup to make my sister happy, but I'm never doing it again.
Well, I guess that was the end of that experiment, ladies and gentlemen. So Dana apparently just cursed to be too beautiful for the rest of her life.
Oh,
I hate those DJs that play those songs. You don't know them, and they're great, and you want to know what they are so you can buy them later, but
yes.
then they don't say what they are.
Right.
Me too. Let's give away some Superman tickets.
Let's do it. 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, what's this KREX screening all about for Man of Steel?
Look. Is there been a more highly anticipated film in the past couple of years than the reboot of the Superman legend?
Maybe not.
We've got the man who brought you, who reinvented Batman, first of all, who's at the helm.
Right.
Christopher Nolan is going to be producing this reboot of the Superman franchise. You've got Zack Snyder, the man who gave you a Watchmen and Sucker Punch and 300. He is directing a film, Man of Steel. It's the Superman legend played by Henry Cavill, a brand new Superman. Everything about this, the pedigree of this film, is just spectacular. I can't wait to see this movie. And as you know, longtime comic book geek, superhero fan like myself, the geekdom out there is just cannot wait to see this movie.
Sure.
So what we're going to do is we're going to give away some passes to the K-Rock screening of Man of Steel on Tuesday, June the 11th at the AMC Century City. Movie's not in theaters until Friday, June the 14th, so you will see it days before your friends. Bragging rights extraordinaire, mon frere.
Okay, so we're taking Superman trivia questions. That's what we're looking
right,
for.
Because, you know, I'm a Batman guy primarily.
Ah.
Right. But, you know, the DC universe is the universe that I grew up in when I was a kid. Read all those comic books. I know tons of Superman knowledge as well. So if you can stump me, we'll put you on the list. And we have five to give away, though, right? So I guess first
yes.
five people will stump
right.
me. we'll get a pair of passes to go see our very special K-Rock screening of Man of Steel.
Let's do it. Call now if you want to stump Ralph.
Stump Ralph. For Man of Steel tickets.
Stump Ralph. Can you stump Ralph? Let's find out right now.
I like that.
That's beautiful.
All right. Let's start with Randy. Randy is on line 8. He gets us started here on Stump Ralph for Superman tickets. Man of Steel is the film. Randy, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's your question for Ralph?
Bring it.
Hi, Ralph. Can you please tell me the name of Superman's dog?
Oh, Randy, you're almost insulting me here. I love you, brother, and I'd like you to win, but everyone knows that Krypto was Superman's dog.
Sorry, dude.
I will tell you that I didn't know Superman had a dog. So
what?
Apparently they're called the right guy
he
here.
He should have come in and said, what's the name of Superman's horse? Boom.
That's a thing, too? Why does Superman need a horse? No, he can fly and run faster than any horse.
It was really Supergirl's pet horse, but they shared custody of Comet.
Let's try Michael. He's on line 7. Michael, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Time to stump Ralph for Man of Steel tickets. Good luck.
Yeah. My question was, what's the occupation of Jor-El?
Jor-El, of course, Superman's father on Krypton. It depends how particular you're going to get here, Michael, because he was head of the science council. I know that much. He was a scientist.
Yeah, that was the vague answer.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much. We'll take that.
Appreciate the call.
Boom!
All right.
Boom!
What if we don't get 5 winners? Right?
Well, then everybody can just suck it.
Let's try Josh on line 2. This is a question that's way above my pay grade, all but right. Maybe you can stump Ralph. Josh, good luck.
Hey, good morning, Ralph. In the original Superman stories, how far was Superman able to jump?
How far was he able to jump? Well, I knew he could leap tall buildings. I want to say he could jump in distance 1 mile.
1/8 of a mile.
Oh, you stopped him.
Well done, Josh. Well done.
Hold on.
You're going to see Man of Steel 1 week from tonight. The movie opens up on Friday.
That was a good one.
Three days later. That was a super good one. All right, let's go to
question
Chris.
Worthy of me.
Chris K is on line 4.
Chris
We've got
K.
two Chris's on the line. He is Chris K.
Chris K, like Chris Kryptonite. I don't like him.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, who's Superman's first love?
First love, I'm guessing you're referring to his girlfriend back in Smallville, which would be Lana Lang.
No. On DC Comics number 29, Lori Laramis.
Lori Lamaris?
Atlantis, yes.
The mermaid?
Yes.
Lana came before Lori Lamaris.
Uh-oh, we have a controversy now. What now?
Now what?
Give it to him. I mean, she is in the canon, but I believe Lana was the girlfriend before Lori Lamaris came along.
You're lucky, dude.
You're lucky. I'm feeling generous today.
Ralph sounds a lot more sure about his answer than Chris sounds about his.
Lori showed up late in the.
Let's go to the other Chris. Chris G, please. He's on line 6. Chris, thanks for calling Stump Ralph for Man of Steel tickets. Good luck.
Hey, Ralph. Okay, so the original Adventures of Superman TV show, what year did that TV show debut?
Ooh, that's a good one. Let's see, early 50s, in black and white. I'm going to say 52.
1952.
I say 52.
It is correct.
Wow.
There you go.
You're scaring me,
Ralph. Something for you.
All right, let's try Eric. Yeah, Eric, he's on line 1 here on the Kevin Beach Show. How many tickets have we given away?
Two.
Only 2 so far, right?
Okay. Pairs? Okay.
Hi, Eric, you're on with Ralph. Good luck.
Just warming up. Eric, what do you got?
In Young Justice?
Yes.
For Superboy, what is half of his DNA? It's Superman and who else?
Lex Luthor.
Son of a...
Yeah. Lex Luthor was paired up the DNA for Superboy.
We told you people
Superboy.
This was not a joke. He knows what he's talking
about. I know.
All right.
Let's try Michael. Michael is on line 7.
Michael.
All right, Michael.
I would like to know how Lex Luthor lost his hair in the Smallville series.
In the TV series on the CW?
Yes.
It was from exposure to a meteor rock from Krypton.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks. Moving on.
Let's talk to Matt. He's on line 8 for Stump Ralph.
Hey, Matt.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hello.
Stump Ralph.
Hello. Hi, Ralph. Let me see. Who put Superman under a spell in Batman's Hush series?
Batman's Hush series. Superman under a spell. Was it Zatanna?
No, it was Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy.
How about that? Wow.
You stumped him. You got tickets.
Yeah. Well done.
Nicely done.
All right, we have time for a couple more. Let's get into some really crazy, deep comic book stuff here. Let's go to Will. He's on line 5. If you know this one, I'm going to hit you.
Hey, right. Will.
Hey, good morning, guys. Speaking of reboots, after the Crisis on Infinite Earths, who drew the Man of Steel comic book limited series?
John Byrne.
Oh, man.
All right.
What?
All right.
What an unbelievably dork you
put
are.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Let's try Jason. He's on line two. This may be the last one we have time for, I'm sorry to say.
Line two or three?
Excuse me, three. Okay. My apologies. Right. Three.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. What is the new writer, artist, creative team for Superman Unbound?
Jim Lee's drawing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's writing that one? Jeff Johns?
No, sir.
No?
It's Scott Snyder.
Scott Snyder, Scott Snyder, of course. All right.
I was going to say Scott Snyder.
No, you
darn
weren't.
It.
Well done, Jason. Good work.
Nicely done. All right, we gave away four pair.
Close enough. Wow, Ralph, you need to get out more or something.
How dare you, sir?
Stop, Ralph. One of our very favorite, though infrequent, guests on the Kevin and Bean Show is Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, who is going to be stopping by in about 10 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. You know, the new album comes out today. New Queens of the Stone Age record called Like Clockwork comes out today. Available for download everywhere right now, and it is great. So we'll talk to Josh about that. And also, I guess he's got some tour information he's going to pass along.
Yeah, got
Southern
a
California date.
Local concert, right? And we're going to play a couple of new songs for you.
Wow. So that's a great 7 o'clock hour just ahead here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Since Bean mentioned it is Tuesday, the new release day. Here's what's available. New music, Like Clockwork, as Bean mentioned, by Queens of the Stone Age, drops today. Also, In a Tidal Wave of Mystery by Capital Cities. The Sun Comes Out Tonight by Filter. And Evil Friends by Portugal. That sounds bad. I don't want Evil Friends. I want nice
Portugal
friends.
The Man.
Portugal the Man. Yes, sure. Right. DVDs, Good Day to Die Hard, Bruce Willis and Jai Courtney. Warm Bodies, the romantic comedy about zombies with Nicholas Hoult and Teresa Palmer. John Malkovich also stars. Identity Thief, the comedy with Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy. John Cho and Amanda Peet also star in that film. Animated kids flick, Escape from Planet Earth, with Brendan Fraser and Sarah Jessica Parker and James Gandolfini. TV shows on DVD today, Breaking Bad, the fifth season, Falling Skies, the complete second season, and Pretty Little Liars, the complete third season. Speaking of TV, are you guys watching
Revolution last night? Yes.
No.
Oh.
Family Tree?
Yes.
Over on HBO?
No.
Oh. You're fools.
I'm a couple episodes
You're
behind,
fool.
But yeah, it's
You're
fine.
Fool.
I'm a fool for a lot of reasons, though, Ralph, not just that one.
Wildly entertaining. There's only been like three episodes, Bean. How can you be a couple behind? For
well, I've seen two. I thought
Get
I was
on
two
board.
Behind. So
Get
maybe
on
I'm
board.
Only one. Maybe I'm only one behind. But yeah, it's very funny.
Chris Guest's new series, and it's done much like his films. A lot of improvisation and some very funny stuff in it. So, just giving you a heads up. And the bad people of the world just keep getting rewarded. Backdoor teen mom Farrah Abraham.
Yes.
Has made a deal with DA office that was prosecuting her for her DUI. She won't serve a day behind bars. She struck a plea deal with the prosecutors. She had an aggravated DUI charge on June the 20th, but she pled guilty to it in exchange for probation instead of jail.
Now, do these celebrities get away with this where we wouldn't because they're celebrities or because they can just afford better representation than the average guy on the street?
Maybe a little both.
We should talk to somebody about that because I don't know that they necessarily, like in this particular case, that we wouldn't have necessarily, you know, been shown
but
a little
do
mercy.
Do no jail time?
Yeah, I don't know.
She blew a
you had
point
me there.
147.
Wow. Wow.
That's almost twice the legal limit.
Wow, 0.147.
She pled not guilty initially. And then her lawyers went back and prosecutors were able to cut this deal. In addition to probation, the judge will suspend her driving privileges and she has to pay $500 in fines, but that's it.
Jail.
No time in jail.
Seems odd.
Also, the charges against her for disorderly conduct when she was fighting with the cop and refusing to take the field sobriety test, those will just be dropped. What? What the what?
Good lawyer.
Or Farrah made her own kind of deal behind closed doors the judge, if you know what I'm saying.
That must have been a moment of party.
A moment of party in the judge's chambers and then a party in Farrah's chamber.
Right.
And any of this? You getting any of this?
Yes, getting it
I'm
all.
I'm saying the judge's gavel.
A backdoor deal.
came down hard.
Right.
Understood.
Understood. In the Hall of Justice.
You don't have to keep doing the air quotes.
I don't think you understand what I'm
understand
saying.
We understand exactly what you're saying.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying. In this particular case, pokey right. has a whole new meaning. Rather than jail, I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying.
We understand.
We got it.
Oh. I don't know if you got my reference.
We got
yep.
it.
Al Pacino was in London over the weekend talking about his career, of course, but also, interestingly, the roles he didn't accept, which I always find fascinating to hear what stars turned down.
Anytime you're an actor who's been around for a while, you've missed a few, right?
Yeah, you had to.
Passed on some roles that you just, for whatever reason, didn't take.
According to the London Telegraph, Al turned down both lead roles in Apocalypse Now.
Really?
Colonel Kurtz, the role that Marlon Brando eventually played, and Martin Sheen's role as well were both offered
wow.
to Pacino, and he said no. Now, it doesn't surprise me because his buddy Francis Ford Coppola was directing, and they worked together famously on the Godfather films, so it makes sense that Coppola would approach him and say, look,
sure.
I've got these films. He turned those down. Richard Gere's role in Pretty Woman. That would have been a very different film with Al Pacino
really?
In the lead
yeah.
of Pretty
I'm
Woman.
Kidding.
But most interestingly, perhaps, in the one everyone's talking about, is he turned down the role of Han Solo in Star Wars.
Really?
He could have been Han Solo. That would have been awesome.
I can't even imagine.
I can't either. I'm trying to.
Of course, the part famously eventually went to Harrison Ford, but a lot of actors in Hollywood were offered that role, and many of them turned down. To James Caan, Kurt Russell, Christopher Walken.
Wow.
All turned down Han Solo. And Pacino said he turned it down because he simply didn't understand the script. Didn't get it. Didn't understand all that sci-fi stuff. Didn't understand what it was all about. So he said, well, this isn't for me, and passed on.
It's so interesting, though, you know, to see how different movies would have been and careers would have been, because wasn't Harrison Ford, I mean, he was very close to getting out of acting altogether when he took Star Wars, right, Ralph? I mean, like, he wasn't that into it at all.
No, carpentry was his...
Yeah, he may never have gone on to have a career if he had not booked that, if they'd given that role to Al Pacino. There may never have been a Harrison Ford that we know of.
That's right.
And he seems so satisfied and happy with his career.
He does. He seems like a jolly old fellow, doesn't he? Today's celebrity birthdays, Bar Raphael, he's 28 years old today. That's a pretty good deal right there.
That's a great deal.
Angelina Jolie is 38, as is actor Russell Brand. Stephen Lessard of the Dave Matthews Band is 39. Noah Wiley celebrates his 42nd birthday today. I'll be sure the singer is 45. And El DeBarge!
What? That's not
DeBarge
music. That's not DeBarge.
That's his best work.
That is not DeBarge.
Remix? Yeah, who's Johnny?
This is bubblegum at its worst.
It's not, and it's at its best. He gave her away to Johnny, and he regrets it now, because look at Johnny. Look what a slob he is. And look at him. Just turn around and look at him right there.
That's that Johnny Beer
yeah,
Mug?
Beer yeah. Mug, yeah. Mm. Can you imagine losing a woman to Johnny?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Take your own life. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
That was Nookie by Limp Bizkit. Probably never heard that one 100,000 times. We've been playing it for the last 15 years. It's 24 after 58 in the hour.
Actually, that wasn't Limp Bizkit we were playing. But that is the voice of Josh Homme, ladies and gentlemen, from Queens of the Stone Age, here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous Kerik. Hey, Josh.
Hi.
What's going on, dude?
I'm, just kind of hanging out, like coming to see what's going on.
Well, what's going on is today's the day that the new Queens record finally is out, called Like Clockwork, available everywhere for download. It's finally here. All your hard work has paid off. Today, you start making some money back.
The monkey is yours now.
Right.
You don't want it anymore?
No, you know, I'm enjoying playing it. It was tough to make, but I'm really enjoying playing it. And it's much like a caged bird. It's wonderful to set it free.
I was wondering about that because I saw a bunch of interviews where you're talking about how difficult it is to make. Tell us, give us a synopsis of why it was so difficult.
Well, I'm not complaining. It just, you know, I think by the time you're at your sixth record, you're sort of having to deal with or go through new obstacles, you know. And
all old obstacles that become big.
Yeah, you've exhausted all your lateral movement and you kind of look over at the elephant who's getting drunk in the corner of the room and you say, I know. Here we go. And I think, you know, we really, I've we have this desire for them to be honest and real records, and sometimes that means it's not sometimes, it just means it is what it is, and you know, you kind of pray for sun and or wait you pray well you hope
rain?
For sun and you prepare for rain.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. I feel like I should get a merit badge or something for listening to that speech. You know, like that
Thank
sounds
you.
Like a Boy Scout preparedness lecture is what it sounds like.
Boys, it's going to be tough camping with me, mostly because of the nudity.
Now, you put it out there in the world. You've been very generous with sharing the new Queen's music. It's been available for streaming on a few sites over the last couple of weeks. You did that show at the Wiltern that you allowed to be broadcast and everything like that. Are you nervous to go online and see what your fans start to say after they hear your new music for the first time?
Well, I got to be honest with you, I don't do that. I don't believe it's a good idea for me, you know. You know, they either love you or hate you, and they both take the same amount of work, you know, at the end of the day. But I feel like it's okay whatever they say, you know.
But you want people to like your music, though.
Of course, but I don't need to check to make sure that they do. I got my family and my friends and things I care about, and I don't want that to be part of my thought process.
Unless they love it.
Well, it's nice if they like it, but I don't require reading that over and over, you know.
Understood.
The record is called Like Clockwork. As we said, today is the day of its release, and a lot has been made. You know, people, when they talk to you, they want to talk about all the guest stars, because you do have a lot of names we know that pop up on this. But you said sure. something so smart in one of your interviews recently. I think it was with The Guardian.
Finally.
Where you said, yeah, the ornaments on the tree are nice, but the heart of it is that it's still a Christmas tree. I mean, you created this thing, and then everything else is just kind of the embellishment, which I think is a great way to look at it.
Well, we're not a hip-hop group, so we don't do, like, featuring Elton John, and then there's a spotlight moment, you know?
Right.
Well, it's very – honestly, it's a way to sort of learn something and maybe also remind somebody of something that they've forgotten. At the same time, there's that give and take. And for – you know, because it was a difficult record to make – I know it's Dave Grohl or Alex Turner or Nick Oliveri to everyone else, but it's really just Dave, Alex, and Nick to me. And,
right.
And because it was difficult to make, it was kind of like, Alex, will you come over and drink some tequila for a couple hours, and we'll find something cool to do together, you know, because I almost needed my friends on this to sort of – like a mini mental vacation.
Was this because of the does this go back to the knee surgery and the difficulties that you had with that?
Yeah, it was a surgery on my leg, and you know, they lost me on the operating room table for like
lost you for real.
Yeah, and you know, and then you spend time in bed for 4 months, and you know, after 2 months, like 2 months left, and you go through all these different phases, which I'm real thankful for. I'm not complaining.
You're thankful they're over, though, I imagine.
Well, certainly anyone can high five over that. You know?
Yeah.
But also it reprioritizes everything and makes you thankful for stuff and gives you a chance to think. And, you know, my grandpa always used to say, like, take the extra 5 minutes, it makes all the difference. And I got to really multiply that by a lot.
Dying does change your perspective on the world. Let's be honest. I mean, how can you not be so grateful for every second after you come back to life?
Yeah. I mean, actually, it hurts quite a bit. and like, you know, I mean, really, you only need three or four things, you know, your family and people you care about and music for me. And you could burn the rest down, and I'd get over it quick. I'd never been so much into stuff, you know.
Right. Sure. Understood. So, you mentioned the family. You have two kids since the last
I know.
Album, right?
No, I got one that's 7 and one that's about to be 2. Yeah.
And how's your life changed with that?
Well, it's gotten much better because now I have someone to roll around on the ground with, and no one thinks I'm messed up. You know?
Why is Josh rolling around in the dirt again? He's got kids. Oh, all right.
He simply loves grass.
Josh Hobby is here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Today is the album release day for Queens of the Stone Age. Their latest is called Like Clockwork. We're going to play the new single, which is called My God is the Sun, when we return. And then we also have big news for those of you who want to see Queens live. You weren't able to be at the Wiltern show last week. We got a concert date that we're going to announce too with our guest right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. My God is the Sun in the name of that. It is new Queens of the Stone Age, which comes out today.
Josh Homme, the man who wrote and sings that song, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That is the first single from Like Clockwork, the new album from Queens of the Stone Age, as Kevin mentioned. And you guys are on the road. Well, first of all, you're leaving America soon. You're heading all over Europe, right? That's what's next.
Yeah, we're going to start out in Europe and play various, like, you know, puppet festivals and and birthday parties and things like that.
Sure. Bar mitzvahs.
L'chaim.
And to you as well. But at some point, you come back home and you are playing, and this is the first time we've heard this news, at the Gibson Amphitheater on Saturday night, August the 17th. The public on sale is going to be this Friday morning at 10 o'clock. However, like we do, there's a K-Rock pre-sale. If you're a Street Team member, you can buy tickets to see Queens of the Stone Age at the Gibson Amphitheater August 17th at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning at 10, please go to krock.com for the exclusive pre-sale info. Tickets start at just $35 for Queens. Now, the Gibson Amphitheater is going out of business.
That's not a pretty good price, right?
Indeed. Yeah.
You might have to raise that a little.
I was just thinking that myself.
The Gibson, that's got to be very close to the end of their run because they're closing down at the end of the summer.
It is. It's a shame, too. I quite like it there.
So do we.
It sounds great. It looks great. There's ample parking.
There is ample parking. That's true.
It's a little pricey on the parking, but we don't have to talk about that. and, you know, so it's kind of a shame. I think they're going to turn it into – they're going to give someone a real Harry Potter.
I think it's a Harry Potter ride. Oh. I don't think they're going to give him
a
real –
If you get a Harry Potter, shouldn't you shave it a little bit?
Probably.
Maybe have someone take a look at it.
Usually, you have to be careful when you go into a fancy venue that you don't damage anything. But, I mean, I would imagine all bets are off. You could burn that mother down in August, right?
Yeah, I suppose so, and perhaps you're giving me a few ideas I hadn't pondered yet.
Well,
you know?
I mean, if you're going to be the last ones there,
yeah,
you know, what are they going to do when you leave? They're going to beat it up and tear it down.
Tear it down anyway.
I pushed this bush over, so there. No, but I like to keep it respectful, so I'll probably just lay the bush down, you know.
Let's talk a little bit more about the new record. What's your favorite song on the record, Josh?
Well, that's a toughie. I mean, right now to play, my favorite song to play is a song called If I Had a Tail. But I feel quite attached to all these songs because they really are kind of, they're about stuff that just happened, you know. So it's also fresh and organic.
Now, you want to play a lot of that stuff when you go out, but a lot of Queens of the Stone Age fans are going to want to hear the other stuff, too. Is it hard to mix it?
Honestly, it's part of the reason why we only have 10 songs on the record because, I mean, if we were going to play 20, you could play the whole thing and still kick out the jams, you know. And also, we like to change the set. Although now we're doing this, we're taking it to a level we never have before, where we're just trying to go completely all out, you know. I mean, so many of the times when I was a kid, I'd watch a show and I'd think, wow, look at that thing that I could never do, you know.
Right.
But now we're gonna show that kid of me who's boss, and we're gonna go all out. You
know? How did you decide, and what was the process like there, where you said you're gonna go all out? How, more musicians?
No,
stage
it's not,
show? What?
It's more of a show. I mean, we still change songs around and things like that because we need to be fresh. I need to feel like anything could happen and it's new all the time.
Right.
You know? And I think the kids appreciate that too. But by the same token, you know, we're immersed in trying to make this. I feel like we've almost exhausted all our lateral movement idea-wise, and the only place to go is up a little bit, you know.
Have you ever known anyone who has a tail, Josh?
Well, actually, there was one girl I knew who worked at a place called Pope's, and we don't have to talk about where that is. And she had like a baby tail, and I thought, well, that's okay till you have to sit down for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a friend, you probably know him too, Stryker, who works here at K-Rock, you know, does afternoons on K-Rock.
Stryker, yes.
That's the guy. He's got a tail. And he will not, he knows how jealous we are, but he will not show it to us. And it's infuriating year after year that he's got a tail and he won't share.
You
got to
play that song, Wiggle It, Just a Little Bit, because anyone that's got a tail, I don't have a choice.
You just have to do it?
Yeah, it just kind of goes like this.
All right, Josh Homme is here. We need to take another break. We're going to come back, talk more Queens of the Stone Age in a second on the world famous The Vampire of Time and Memory, requested by Josh Homme.
And that's Vampire with a Y, by the way. What's up with that, old school?
Why do you want to know?
Oh, I'd like to introduce you to my tennis buddy, Troy Van Leeuwen. He also plays guitar.
Yes.
I use the tennis racket as an air guitar sometimes, too. So
do they still have air guitar competitions? Does anyone
I think
know
they
them?
Do. They sure do. Yeah, the World Championships in Finland every year. It's still a big deal, believe it or not.
Can I say, I might be blown up, but am I able to say on air what I do in the middle of my air guitar thing?
Please.
I would accidentally step on the cord and look down like I just unplugged it and look real embarrassed and be like, and then I would stamp off stage like a tiny girl.
That would be very memorable.
Does that seems cool, right?
I like it, yeah.
Let me bring our audience up to speed. You just heard, as we mentioned, The Vampire of Time and Memory. That is a song from the new Queens of the Stone Age record, which is called Like Clockwork, available for download everywhere today all over the world. We've got Troy here and Josh from Queens. We have a concert date coming up August 17th at the Gibson Amphitheater, just announced moments ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, too. Pre-sale for K-Rock Street Team members is going to be tomorrow at 10 a.m. The public can buy those tickets Friday at 10. Again, the date is August 17th at the Gibson. We heard from Josh already, but Troy, let me hear from you about the years that went into making Like Clockwork. What do you think back and remember most about that time?
Well, it was a dark time. Let me just tell you that right now.
Josh made it sound like it was a lot of work.
But it was fun.
We like to work. We're kind of workaholics. We kind of worked through it, worked through the difficulties. Every record for us has to be different. So, yeah, a challenge is always good for change and for growing.
Is it a little scary, or is it difficult to find where to go if you're going in new?
Well, when you tell yourself every day when you wake up to abandon all hope, it's not so scary.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I think, too, I mean, this just goes in general, that it'd be a shame if you let the things you're afraid of sort of dictate your every move because you're trying to avoid them. And music is such a wonderful way to sort of, like, turn and face that down, you know. And I think in particular when you feel a little bit lost or something like that, it's never wrong. I mean, you could not like someone's music, but it's not wrong. You show me the worst band in the world, I'll show you 300 people willing to die for them, you know.
Right.
And by the way, Bean, when you were talking earlier, it was so enunciated and fast. It was really cool, man. You're doing real good.
Thanks. Josh was making hand signals while you were talking. I couldn't figure out what he was.
Yeah, I was trying to say, wow, he's doing really good. He was
assigning it for our death listeners, Kevin. That's what he was taking care of there. Will people be? I was a little bit surprised to hear some of the, if, may I call them, ballads
as
on the
record.
Some actual slow, pretty music from Queens of the Stone Age that I wasn't really expecting, but I thought was very effective.
Well, I mean, you play what it is. I think what's important is to represent each song correctly. You know, it doesn't need to be perfect. We never search for perfection. It just needs to be right. The character of the song needs to be correct. And I think that's what took so long, is saying, who are these? These songs are like people, and who are they? And, you know, sometimes it's, I think our end goal is for it to be very primitive, that it's not overwrought and too much stuff going on.
Do you have to run everything through the filter of, is this Queens of the Stone Age, or do you think of it that way?
No, we are Queens of the Stone Age.
I know.
Whatever we play is us.
That's it. Okay.
Well, we have this saying in the Queens of the Stone Age, Queens of the Stone Age, men who care.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's great.
So finally, we're having some songs that kind of represent that.
Yeah. Well, it's tattooed on us all, and let's just say that part of the time the tattoo says "men who," and then at other times it says "men who care a lot about the world," okay, and they're happy to be there.
Understood. Depending on the stretch, I got you. Yeah. Your Will Turn show the other day, which sadly has been taken down, people can no longer watch it, but it did stream for a while there. You had some people show up. Morrissey was one of the fans who was there that night. Do you guys know him at all?
No. I'd like to, though.
Why is he so sad? No, but what's up with that guy? Why is he so sad?
I don't know, but he sure loves to sing about it, and in a pretty way.
Well, it's such a good vehicle. He's probably not that sad because he's singing about it. It's such a great vehicle to be like, it's your monkey now.
Yeah, maybe he gets it off his chest like therapy or something like that. And also, I want to ask you about your close friend Trent Reznor, who does make an appearance on this record, too. He's too buff, right? He's worked out too much. Wouldn't you guys agree?
No, I mean, I think you're getting him confused with, you know, like Arnold, like, come on!
You know, get to the job!
No, I think, I think when you parlay or sort of transition out of, like, illegal substances, and then you go, well, what else should I do?
You got to be obsessed with something.
Well, I think there's always an itch that should be scratched. So, I really should probably, like, take a cue there or something like that.
You've had your own itches to scratch throughout the years, but it seems like the constant for you has been music. You've always had music to kind of go back to kind of be the ultimate high, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we really are workaholics, and you can always put it out, but you can never take it back. So that being said, I think it's great to kind of record very freewheeling and then be a little conservative about what you put out. You know?
You talked about some of the people that you worked with on this album, Dave Grohl and a bunch of different people, Trent Reznor. Tell me about Elton John. How did that come about? What a weird day was that?
It was a Sunday, and I was holding my son. We were looking at bugs in the yard, and my cell phone rang, and there was a guy on the other end. He said, Josh, this is Elton.
And I said, I know.
What?
And then he goes, no, it's Elton John. And I said, I know. And then, literally like that. And I look at the phone, and my old roommate, Nigel, said, just sent me a text and said, Elton John's going to call you in 5 minutes.
You thought it was somebody punking you and just having fun?
Yeah, and I mean, one of my hobbies is to not be made a fool of except by myself.
Right.
So then I said,
Elton John.
And then I just said, oh, hey, dude, what's up?
Then you try to be cool.
I was like, what do you want to do?
Right.
And he was just really, really nice.
What did he want? Like, what was his...
He just said, I just wanted you to know I love your music and I'd love to play with you at some point. And I don't know
That's cool.
when that moment could arise. And I said, well, I'm just about to start a record in about 2 months, and why don't we do something like that, you know? And what we both come to understand, he's a workaholic. He's got his sleeves rolled up. He's like signing cello players that were busking on the street from Croatia and signing 15-year-old kids that sound like the Beatles from Ireland, and he loves to play, and he's funny, you know.
He's really funny. I've seen him in concert, and he's
man. We were calling
funny.
Each other names within 2 seconds on the phone. He goes, "The only thing missing from your band is an actual queen," and I was like, "And I said, honey, you have no idea." and so I think because we could kind of jab each other, and the fact that we're all workaholics, it really gave us some engine to tinker over to focus on together, and let the balloon out of like. Him being so blown away of how famous I am.
Sure. And I'm sure that was the dynamic problem there, was that he's too in awe of your fame.
Yeah, well...
Understood.
I was like, how many capes do you have? Because I have 12. And he was like, I have 300.
Elton John for the win.
All bedazzled.
That song is called Fairweather Friends that Elton plays on the record, by the way. Like Clockwork is new Queens of the Stone Age music available for download. Are you signing me right now as I give this information out again, Josh?
He's not.
No, I'm over it, but you really are doing quite well.
Thank you. August 17th, Gibson Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale to the public Friday at 10, but you don't care about that because you're a K-Rock Street team member and you'll be able to buy them on the pre-sale, which is going to be tomorrow at 10 a.m., Wednesday, June 5th at 10 a.m. to buy the tickets for that
Queens. Street team sounds like a bunch of ruffians that are like...
No, it's a good deal.
K-Rock and everyone's ass on the road.
Well, they might be. Yeah. We don't know for sure.
Yeah, let's try to keep that to a minimum now. Let's pass out smiles instead.
The record is great, first of all. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Always good to see you guys. Josh, Troy, thanks so much for coming in, and I hope we'll do it again soon.
This is always fun for me.
Yum.
Is there coffee, though?
Yes. How fun... We're the guys from Queens of the Stone Age, by the way.
Love it. Love to have them back. Love to have the album.
Love those guys.
Very.
We always enjoy having the musical guests here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And by the way, looking ahead toward next week, Jimmy Eat World is going to be coming by. Tenacious D is coming in. And Group Love is going to be bringing us a new song. So that's all next week here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Petros Papadakis later on as well. We'll talk to Luke Robitaille. Coming up next about a hockey team that has its back against the wall against Chicago. That's happening.
Just take care of business at home. That's then it's right. All square 2-2.
That's right.
And it's a best of three. They just have to steal one in Chicago. Piece of cake.
I don't know that it's a piece of cake.
Piece of cake.
It can be done.
Cake. Cake.
You guys remember the kid named Adolf Hitler?
Yes.
Not the one that grew up in Germany in the 30s.
Well, no, I don't remember the kid.
Oh, the one that his parents named him?
Parents in New Jersey named their kid Adolf Hitler.
Right.
There was a big to-do about it. And then they lost...
Because people are uptight, apparently.
Then they lost custody of their kids due to alleged domestic violence. What a shock that a Nazi dad might rough up his family.
Yeah.
So anyway, Heath Campbell was in court to fight for visitation rights for Adolf and his little brother Heinrich.
Wow.
Kidding.
And to prove the judge what an upstanding citizen he now is, he came dressed wearing his full Nazi uniform.
Well, at least he's showing respect for the court by dressing up.
That's what I'm saying.
That just means he doesn't want to see his kids, doesn't it?
No.
Well, what's the point of that?
He said that he thinks he should be judged not on his appearance. If they're good judges and they're good people, they'll look within, not what's on the outside. They're saying, but because of my beliefs and that I'm the Nazi, that people like us don't have any constitutional rights to fight for our children. And here's the one thing. There's one thing the Nazis were good at, was not judging people on the color of their skin or their religion or what was on the outside. They would look for the good inside of people and treat them the way they deserve to be treated.
That's true.
On the
that.
Inside.
That's true.
So I think that Heath Campbell, the Nazi, should get exactly what the Nazis would have given him back in the late 30s or 40s.
I like it.
I just was reading that story this morning. Made me a little frustrated.
How? First of all, what does he think of the Cheerios commercial? And second of all,
I don't think he's in favor.
Do we have any update on what the judge is deciding to do with the man's child?
Well, he's no word on the outcome of the trial. Apparently, they're still fighting over visitation rights to see his kids.
Gotcha.
In addition to Adolf and Heinrich, there's a 6-year-old Jocelyn Aryan Nation is her name.
Wow.
And Hanslin. She's a girl. 5-year-old Hanslin.
Wow.
People are...
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just saying.
Right.
Totally. Absolutely.
You with me? 100%. Speaking of courtroom antics, Farrah Abraham, the backdoor teen mom, also known as...
Farrah Abramson?
She will not spend a day behind bars for her DUI arrest. She made a deal with prosecutors. Apparently that deal is airtight. She pled guilty. They gave her probation, and they dropped the disorderly conduct and the field sobriety, refusing to take the field sobriety charge. So she has to pay $500, and then that's it, probation. She can't drive for a while, but other than that, no time in jail. She blew a 0.147.
So that's pretty much twice the legal limit.
More or less.
Wow. That must have been a moment of party.
It was a moment of party to be remembered, Kevin, and I'm glad you put it so eloquently.
Me too.
And Michael Douglas has come forward and said, let's clear up this story where I say that I got oral throat cancer because of oral sex. News broke this week that Michael was claiming the cancer caused by HPV caused his throat cancer.
It's been out there for a couple days now, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, his representative, Alan Bury, finally stepped forward and said, look, the interview was misinterpreted by the London Guardian newspaper. Here's the tape of the interview, and he actually had the tape in which Michael was merely stating the fact that they have found that the HPV virus does sometimes cause cancer.
Right.
He did not claim in particular that he had contracted cancer via oral sex. So he was simply stating that this has been discovered. He was talking about oral cancers in general because he did suffer from it. And he said that was it. He didn't say that it wasn't because of his smoking or drinking or anything else. He said this is another cause for oral cancer. And somehow the newspaper released it as if he was claiming that's where he got it from. So that's all been cleared up. Also, his ex-wife, Deandra Douglas, released a statement saying she doesn't have HPV. But by the way, didn't get it from me.
Hey, it wasn't me.
No. All clean down here. Woohoo. Clean as a whistle. Who's next? So now we know better. That's Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
She is a lovely girl, and she's got a big heart.
She does.
Heart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
She was on the set of Captain America 2, and the producers were ready to fire a female extra. This is according to the National Enquirer, who showed up on the set with a baby bump. She was pregnant. Apparently, the scene could not have a pregnant woman in it for whatever reason, so they were going to fire her. Scarlett stepped in, said, let's just rewrite the scene and put this young lady in a seat behind a table. You won't see her stomach, and she doesn't have to lose her gig. She can still be an extra on the film, and she can still make her money.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. The extra said she was more than gracious to her and said it was really big of her to step up and run interference for an extra. A lot of A-list actors would not do that. So.
I'm impressed.
I am too. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bar Raffaelli's 28 years old today.
Boobs.
Actress Angelina Jolie is 38 years old. Russell Brand, also 38. Stefan Lessard, of the Dave Matthews Band is 39. Noah Wiley is 42. Actor Scott Wolfe from Party of Five and V is 45 years old. Horatio Sanz turns 44. Al B. Shore celebrates his 45th birthday.
Wheel in the sky. Keeps on turning.
I'm not sure if that's Al
that's
or not.
Al, be sure.
Is that Al?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that song differently.
But the reason we celebrate the day, of course, is because it is the day of the birth of the greatest DeBarge of all, El DeBarge.
Oh, to the beat of the rhythm of the night. Dance until the morning light. Forget about the words on your mind.
Stop dancing.
You can leave them all behind.
Yeah, yeah.
The beat of the rhythm of the night.
You don't hear enough marimba in popular music anymore.
That's I think you do.
I think you need more marimba.
We need more marimba.
Here. Hear that marimba?
Yeah, we don't need
that. Oh, it's good marimba right there. I'm Ralph Marimba, and I walk the marimba beat.
Our old friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money radio show joins us 1 hour from right now here on K-Rock. Plus, about that same time, we'll give you a chance to qualify for the Reading Festival in London, England. This is a big one, kids. Destination number 3 of the K-Rock Festival Flyway includes Green Day, System of a Down, Eminem, The Lumineers, Imagine Dragons, Phoenix, and more. That's 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, it's time to talk to Luke Robitaille about the Los Angeles Kings playing in Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals tonight. Hi, Luke.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Thank you for squeezing in some time for us, particularly on a game day.
But where's the big entry? Usually you guys have gold songs and stuff like that. What's
yeah.
happening?
I don't know. We just...
Damn it.
Sorry. We'll do it next time. Our bad.
So, Luke, St. Louis, check. San Jose, check. Chicago, not so fast. What's going on with this series against the Blackhawks? This is not what we hoped.
No, it's definitely, you know, you want to go there and at least win one game. And I think we weren't real happy with our first game. But I think as a team, we were better the last game. We definitely know that our teams can be better. You know, I mean, we were down 2-0 against St. Louis. So at the end of the day, what we need to do now is, you know, we need to come back tonight and play the way we know we can play. If we play a great 60 minutes the way we know we can do as a team, we can beat these guys. So we just got to do it tonight. And then we'll worry about the next game on Thursday night.
Now, we've had a lot of injuries. Jared Stoll was back for this series. I was glad to see. Mike Richards, Jake Muzzin were both out, I think, for the last game. How are they?
Yeah, we don't really know right now. I think Mike is day-to-day, and so is Jake. So we're just going to play it and see how these guys feel this morning. And but that's playoff hockey. You know, yeah. Everybody has to go through injuries and players fight through it. And sometimes, you know, at the end of the day right now, our most valuable players are trainer and our doctors.
I mean,
these guys have been really busy for the last month and a half, and, you know, they're certainly going to be busy today.
It's good to get the seventh grader, Toffoli, some action, though, in the playoffs. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, he's a great little player. I mean, this kid's led in scoring almost every team he's played on, and, you know, for him to get a chance to play right now, I mean, he's taking a chance, and he certainly had a really good game last game. So we expect a lot of the same out of him because he's one of those kids that he's got a knack for scoring goal. And the way he's playing really hard. He's a dangerous player, so he could definitely help us on a big game like tonight.
Luke, you had your share of pressure situations in the course of your long Hall of Fame career. You know what it's like to be out there and have your back against the wall a little bit. But what's it like? Put me in the mindset of what's going through Jonathan Quick's head right now after a game like the last one against Chicago. I mean, he's a veteran, of course, but does that shake you up at all when you give up that many goals?
I don't think so. I mean, if a goalie has like 4, 5, 6 bad games in a row, yeah, you could start thinking, but a night like last game, I mean, if you kind of break it down, it's funny, a goalie, like if you're a winger, you can make 10 mistakes and they don't end up in your net. And a goalie sometimes can not even make a mistake and you think he has a bad game. And
right. If
you go back and you look at the first goal, our guy kind of just hit his stick and it just barely changed direction. The next goal was the guy was going wide and he put it against the grain. That's a really tough shot to stop. And, you know, you could go on each shot. So, the kind of player he is, what I like the most about it is whenever he's had a game in his career where he gave up a few goals, the next game has been his best game. So kind of looking forward to see him play tonight because, like, as Jonathan Quick goes, it seems the way we go. And he's got so much character that I have a gut feeling that he's going to have a great game tonight.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm telling you, I would never in a million years want a job with that much pressure. And as you pointed out, it's just a matter of 2 inches sometimes is going to be the difference between a win and a loss. I mean, it's just it's insane what those guys go through.
Yeah, imagine being a parent to these kids.
Nope. I can't. First of all, I wanted to ask you this. A lot of times, especially in the playoffs, when a goalie gives up a goal, if they're in an away arena like tonight, for example, the entire crowd will chant their name. That has to, I mean, they have to hear that, right? And it has to sort of bug them.
Yeah, they'll hear it, but when you're playing the game, it's like you're so focused on what you're doing, and if it's real, like I've seen a few players where it flustered them, where one guy will touch the puck and the whole crowd will start booing him.
Right.
And it can get to a point where it gets to you, but, you know, there's some players that they'll never even think about it. Some other guys, it'll bother them, so it's not a bad thing to do for our fans. So any of them that are listening today, it's okay to yell tonight.
That's a done deal.
Were you able to block out what was going on in the arena when you wanted to, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, for me it was easy because they always chanted Luke. So even if I was having a bad game and they were booing me, I kind of took on a positive that they were going Luke.
They're saying Luke. So you never accepted the boos.
It was very easy with me. There was...
Now, we've been talking a lot about Daryl Sutter, who to me is the motivational speaker of the year. And
Oh, that guy's just pure adrenaline, isn't he, man? When he talks, you just fall down with excitement.
I have a little bit of the press conference that I want to play for you. I think this was after the first game, and they were talking about asking him about the penalties that the Kings took.
It seemed you had problems again in the first, early with penalties.
Yep.
Seems like you had a problem with some penalties. Yep.
What do you call that management style, Luke?
To the point.
You know what's funny, though, is that he's so comfortable just letting there be nothing going on. He just stands there and looks at the reporters. I'm uncomfortable watching it. The reporters are uncomfortable, and he's fine.
And he's never, like, there's never anything bad. He's not mad at them or anything. He just kind of gives them the yep and then looks around like, okay, I'm ready for the next question.
What's he like in the locker room? I mean, he's got it. He has to
turn it up,
he
right?
He seems like he's good at getting the guys motivated to come out and be on point.
Yeah, Daryl is really good at getting the guys prepared. I mean, he's been around for a long time.
But does he up his energy any?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trust me, he does. Like, okay. If you talk to our players, they'll tell you. If they do something wrong, they will know. I mean, he will make sure he knows. But I think his greatest thing is he feels the team. He knows how to feel the team behind the bench. He knows how to get them prepared. And he's not shy of telling them they're doing something good. At the same time, trust me, if they're doing something wrong, he always addresses it, and they know that.
Well, Jonathan Quick, the way he plays, and Daryl Sutter, the way he coaches and gets the guys ready, are the two things that give me the most hope for tonight's game.
All right.
I mean, really, that's a good thing, and I hope Mike Richards can play, and you know, I hope the home winning streak continues.
Yeah, we just got to – the biggest thing for us has been great because our crowd has been so loud. You know, like I was in Chicago, and, you know, there's nothing like the crowd at Staples Center, so – we just get our guys going. We got to come out the first 10 minutes, and the way we play physically, we got to take over tonight. And we do that, I think we're going to have some great results.
Well, I got to ask you one more favor, and I know you're very busy, Luke, but if there's any way you can make sure no Bieber at Staples Center tonight. Seriously, that's got to stop, dude.
Yeah, that's a bad
sign. That can't happen. I mean, I think it's unlikely because he was at the Heat game last night, so he may not even be in town. But if he tries to show up, you've got to keep him out with his ridiculous outfits. Come on. No one needs that kind of distraction.
Well, just tell him that it's not our fault. It was you guys.
That's fine.
Yeah, we'll take the hit.
We'll take that one. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, Kevin and Bean said you're not allowed in the Staples Center. Sorry, Bieber.
Okay.
All right, Luke.
Lisa in there, too?
Yeah, right here.
Sure.
She's with us. Luke, you are the very best, man. We always appreciate you squeezing in some time. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Anytime. All right, guys. Okay, let's
thank you, sir.
Bye.
Thank you, Luke.
Is Sally Ann mad at us? There's a lot of yelling going on.
No.
What's happening?
She's actually happy.
She is.
Sally Ann Salzano is back on the Kevin and Bean Show. We call her the queen of reality TV. She, of course, heads up 495 Productions and has a million shows on the air. Last time you were in, we mostly talked about Jersey Shore, which has like 11 spinoffs now. Right, Sally Ann?
Yeah, we are. We're going on our 12th, I think. Oh, my God.
And I love that you have all of these shows on the air. We're going to hit a bunch of them here during the time that we have. But the thing that you walk in screaming about is another show that's on the air that you're so bummed out isn't yours, right?
Oh, my God. I'm dying.
Which one?
I've been on the
road. I haven't caught up on all my good viewing, you know, so I can learn more about people.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, I catch this Long Island Princesses on Bravo. I almost had a heart attack. I want to stab the producers, who I all know and respect greatly.
Why?
Only because it's not my show.
Oh, you like, want, it's that good?
That is my neck of the woods. I am a Long Island girl. No one knows a Long Island Jap like I do, and I was so mad.
Would you mind defining Jap for us, please?
It's a Jewish-American princess.
Well, I know, but I just want to make sure people understand that.
And I was sitting there, and literally, I think my jaw was on the ground and drool was coming out of my mouth as I was watching the show.
Isn't this mine?
Yes. It's that, so wrong, say, it's
that's
right.
That's saying something, because you know all the tricks. You know the way to push those buttons to make people feel that way when they watch TV, and they got you even. That's impressive.
I will tell you, in this scenario, I think they just had a point and shoot.
Yeah.
These peeps are good.
Wow. I have to ask you this, Sally, and again, we have a lot of ground to cover here, but because the kids who are on reality TV shows now grew up watching reality TV, that has to change the way they act, right? They know what they're doing when they try to get on these shows now.
You know what? They actually do, and I think that's why it's harder for us. We have to know to cut through it, to not put those people on the show.
The people that want it the most will not probably deliver?
Yeah, I always find that, like, when people say, like, what's the trick to your casting? Some of it is, like, going to the natural habitat, if you will, of where those people
like they're
are.
Like in a zoo?
Yeah, kind of like, you know, it's like anyone can show up in an audition is like, oh, what am I supposed to be? I'm supposed to be a fan of this, or I'm supposed to be the guy who that, and then they act like that.
Right.
But if you go somewhere and you're like, you come here. I always feel like that's the better way to do it. And I also believe, too, like, you know, when you used to wake up, like, as a kid, and you would talk all big in school, and then, like, you would go home to that kid's house, and in front of their parents, they had a whole different game.
Right.
I'm a firm believer of you take these kids, and you go talk to them in front of their parents once you pare it down.
Ah, then you can figure out exactly who they're going to be.
Yeah, because in front of their parents, sometimes it's good when their parents think one thing and they're another. If they address it, they're like, listen, when we go in there, I got to play it on the low. They're going to have a heart attack when the show hits the air.
Right.
Then it's all game. But if they don't acknowledge it and they think you don't notice, that means they're like putting on a front and they're trying to do it. And as a producer, I actually think it's harder to cut through who the real people are.
I imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, look, the casting is the hardest part of any reality show, right? Is just getting the right mix of people in front of the camera.
It is. And it's always kind of like, it's a gamble. And like every reality producer, what's the key to success? Oh, it's all about a great cast. Really, you're a genius. but you don't know. It's the mix of them, and a lot of times they don't know each other ahead of time. And, you know, sometimes it just erupts, and it's perfect. And then there's other times where you're like, well, that person's not who I thought they were. But sometimes that turns out being good.
There was a time when everybody was saying Jersey Shore was renegotiating. They were all staying together, and the common wisdom was just find another five. That's absurd.
It's
or just not as easy as it sounds, or what?
And the Jersey Shore for me was the easiest show I ever cast, and maybe it's because I walk amongst my people.
Sure.
So yes. I knew exactly what I was looking for. But to me, I felt like that is a show that I think if you rest it and then resurrect it, it would work. But I did think like Jersey Shore could for sure use a little bit of a nap.
Yes.
But I do think like let you know Seaside come back. I would kill to go back with a new cast for sure because
really?
All those kids, yeah, in their own right, are doing cool things. You know, like they grow up; they're not the same kids they used to be. I enjoyed watching them grow up and I was a part of it, and now I'm enjoying like what's going on in their lives afterwards, but it is kind of fun. And like, you know, doing that on the shore at 40, probably like I don't do it anymore.
Right.
You know?
Of course, yeah. And I tell you, I know you have a lot of affection for those Jersey Shore kids. Lord knows you spent a number of years with them, but I'm impressed, and I was no huge fan of that show, but I'm impressed that they have all, it seems like, kind of grown up to be adults. Like none of them are going the Amanda Bynes route. They all seem to be pretty centered.
So far.
And so far, they seem to be doing pretty well on their own, right?
I agree. I think at the end of the day, that's why I never had a problem defending those kids till my death. And I always would because...
Did people attack you a lot about that?
Oh, my God. Who are these animals? Yeah. What are you doing? You're a sellout for putting kids like that on TV. You know what? I was that kid. And I knew that I went out and partied, but like I would do anything for my parents. You know, I was raised in a good home. I lived at home till I was 25 years old with my parents. Like I was a
They must have really wanted to get you out.
They didn't.
The way you talk so much. What?
I know. Can you believe
they
it?
They didn't?
No.
Wow.
But like in the end, it kind of was like I was them. So I would defend them. I'm like, listen, I was slightly crazy, but like I was a good kid who would do anything for my family. And that's what they were.
Right.
Sally Edsel's
Sano is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is the executive producer of a number of shows through her reality TV company called 495 Productions. When we come back, we want to talk about, among other things, Taboo, which premieres tonight on Nat Geo. Now, there's a show that involves Satanism. It involves ponies. It involves dominatrix.
A guy who thinks he's a dog.
A guy who thinks he's a dog. All of this on one show tonight, Sally-Ann, is that right?
Totally normal.
Fantastic.
That's her life. We'll talk about it when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm exhausted just by spending a couple of minutes with Sally-Ann Salzano. How about you guys?
Here's what we want to know is that Sally-Ann is responsible for a lot. Run down a list of TV shows that you have... You're responsible for. People can pin on you.
I mean, it starts back with A Shot at Love, my famous Tools from the Tool Academy, who I adore. The Academy should be reopened.
Keep going.
We've done everything from Disaster Date. We do Friend Zone. We did That's Amore. We did Double Shot at Love. We did Design Star, Dance Your Ass Off, $250,000 Challenge, Tanisha's Getting Married. It goes down the list, but...
And you want to know what...
All highbrow.
You want to know what, you want to know what type of person this is? Bean asked her during the song, do you like this or are you just aware that other people will watch it?
Yeah, you watch it because it's your job to know what pushes the button.
She loves it.
She loves it.
No, I can't get enough.
Do you watch?
I have
do you
five
watch scripted TV,
but you
too?
Have to respect that. No,
you
do
really
I, do.
Of course.
Do I watch scripted TV? No.
Yes.
Really? And
really?
Yes. And it's not because I'm like, you know, I always listen to reality producers that are like, I sample everything so I know what's happening.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, sample it? Like, it's in my veins. Like, I just love it. Like, it's like crack to me. I literally, Sunday, I sat there, I'm like, there's new shows coming out on TLC. When is that show? Like, I'm so crazy about it. But like,
that's so crazy because most people, if they work in that industry with that type of show, would probably want to do something else on their off time. Not you, not for a bit.
No, and everyone, like, with scripted TV, I respect the game. Every once in a while, there's a show that gets me. Back in the day of Grey's Anatomy, huge fan.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, I could not stop watching Entourage, and I love 6 Feet Under.
Okay.
Those
okay.
shows
so you have a few. All right.
got me.
Dexter?
No. I,
when
just
you're bad.
Because I haven't had the time.
Oh.
I think that I would love, you know, a murderer, to be honest. But, like... I just haven't had the time. But for me, you know, I always think about it. And you think about your craft. And, you know, you respect each other's game. And I'm always like, God, the whole scripted thing. So you write things on paper. You hire someone who's very credible to show up on time and read your lines. Like,
right.
this seems like a dream
seems
job.
Seems too easy, doesn't it?
I, like, take a bunch of nut jobs. You know what I mean?
And yeah. I'm like, try and wrangle them.
I have cameras. And then I'm kind of like, come on, snake eyes. And, like, then you try and make sense of it later. So
look,
it's kind of hard.
Breaking Bad is good, but it's no dancer ass off. So let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Tell us about
right.
the show with Vinny. Has that started yet?
Show
oh,
with Vinny.
Vinny's on.
Yeah, Vinny's on.
That's on. Yeah.
Halfway through. That show was great. Someone just said to me that there was a rumor that we shot that show on a soundstage. That would have been my dream, but
yeah.
we didn't. We are in Vinny's Staten Island apartment, which is the size of this studio.
Okay, good.
Which I loved because it's real.
Okay.
And it's like, that's where he was raised. He lived there his whole entire life.
Yeah.
And literally, instead of going to sit by, you know, going to Leno or Kimmel, you're sitting, you show up at this kid's house and his mother is like making the biggest Italian dinner ever.
Sweet.
And the celebrities are sitting down at the table and they're like, what is going on? And I think our interviews were so different than you've seen anywhere else, with everyone just hawking whatever movie that they're on.
Right.
Because, like, it's also someone's mom. Like, when little Wayne walks in and she's like, what do you do, son? Do you sing or dance? They're like, I'm sorry, what? Like, you're so thrown off that the interview just goes off to a different place. And I think that's what was kind of fun about that show.
All right, let's talk.
Little Wayne doesn't ever go anywhere where somebody doesn't know who he is, so that has to be kind of fun for him, right?
Yes, and all the questions were crazy, like, you know, what is your life like? Oh, you're from New Orleans? What's gumbo? He's like, wait, what? You know what I mean? She's like, oh, you just flew in, you must be starving. He's like, I was on my jet with my chef. You know, like, it was just such a funny interaction that it was awesome.
All right, let's talk about Taboo, which looks fantastic. The episode
scares me, I gotta be honest. I'm nervous about tuning into this tonight on Nat Geo. I really am.
Well, you tell her the part that scares you first, then we'll get into the good stuff.
Well, I mean, here's the sentence. A dominatrix takes the idea of training ponies to a whole new level with leather and latex. Now, that can't be good for the pony, Sally-Ann. Come on.
Some call it Saturday night. You know, it all depends. You know.
A guy who thinks he's a dog.
Yeah,
I will tell you this. I think that most people don't realize, like, this is what people are doing in the world. And I don't think it's something, I think people on the outside look at it and they're like, oh my God, that's so weird.
This guy exists, though, who believes that he was born in a human body but is actually a dog?
But, like, I can justify it. Because in my mind, it's like you think of women that are born that feel like they're really a guy, or men that are born that feel like they're trapped in a female's
people
body.
People to people, though.
Yeah, but how is that different?
Like, one is an animal.
The thing about taboo that I think is, like, who are we to judge? Like, at the end,
I think I can judge a guy who thinks he's a dog.
I mean, of course you can, but
I'm also going to watch it because I love those people. I love crazy people,
right? And for me, that's kind of how I feel. It's like when you found the people on this show, it's not a matter of. I think when you watch certain shows, you are just putting it out there for all the world to see to point at.
Right.
And the thing that I love about this show is you're like, okay, this is completely out there and may not be the way I choose to live my life, but in the end, at the end of it, you sort of understand it in
some
way.
It's real.
And it humanizes everything. And I think it's kind of like, no, you don't need to point and laugh, but you can look at it and go, okay, not for me.
Right.
But I'm
going to play Dr. Drew here for a moment. Isn't this guy mentally ill, though, that we're putting on TV and making fun of because he thinks he's a dog?
See, we're not making fun of him. You may be. You're a bad
I'm
person.
Laughing. I'm laughing when I'm watching.
Yeah, I'm a good person.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. And what I feel is that everybody deserves a platform.
So you just tell their story. You don't
I'm not judging.
You're whatever. Not judging.
I'm not judging. And the thing about this show is it kind of like these people let us into their homes. It's not like they're coming to like a stage or something like that. They're literally like, this is who I am and this is how I'm living.
How'd you find this guy?
I mean, how you find all, I don't know. You just find
them. He barks. He wears a dog collar. What the hell?
Is he house trained?
Yes.
If not, okay, could you rub his face in it?
Because
he thinks he's a dog.
I mean, I would say, I mean, if you think about something, and this is a show that's been on the air for multiple seasons,
yeah.
You know, and we basically came in, and our goal with the show was to make it like, give it a hip pass to kind of bring it into the millennium.
Right.
But also to, like, show these people the way that they want to be seen. And I think that's the difference. I think, like, if you take them and you bring them on a talk show set and you're like, hey, look at this guy.
He's a
and
dog.
It has one thing. And
right.
You present it a certain way. But if you go into someone's home and you hear the story from their point of view, although it may not be how you choose to live or wish for your own
right.
children or whatever to live, you kind of can see it in that way. But once you turn it on, this is a show that as a producer, when I was giving edit notes, I would have to watch the show like 2 and 3 times because you'd start watching it and you were like, forget that you were working.
What other kind of people do you feature on this show that are coming up this season?
I mean, everything from, like, we do a couple of exorcists. There was this, oh my God, there's a guy that does all these paintings with human blood. So, like, he removes blood from his own body and
right.
that's the paint he that he does,
it?
Paints with it.
Uh-huh.
There's this one gentleman that I don't know. Like, he is a black gentleman who wants to change how the KKK thinks.
Okay.
So his way of doing that is to go to KKK rallies.
Wow.
And, like, confront
him. And they're
happy
to see him?
Wow.
We went with him.
That's bold.
And I would say it was definitely one of those things, like, before we went out, like, with the producers, we're like, okay, what's our approach? This is what this guy normally does.
What's plan B? What's plan C?
Yeah, but also, like, you're going into it not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is something that one man believes that he can change and make a difference. And that's what I mean by these segments. It's like, you would say that that's crazy, or you would say that this is wrong, but I think after you watch this show, it actually lets you get inside of the head of the people. It's like you're not watching it and judging. You're more like, okay, I see how they see it. You can then agree or disagree. But in the end, I think it kind of levels the playing field of where they're coming from.
Why do you think National Geographic is where this show ended up? It's a surprising programming for them, isn't it?
Dude, believe it or not, this is season 10 of
yep.
this show. And it, like, it just works. I think it's one of their biggest shows, and I think people go there because the thing about Nat Geo is you can tell the story in a way that's respectable from the point of view of the person.
And they go all over the world, too, as
right,
well,
right.
different strange
so
locations
in other words,
out of the
right.
way.
For the Nat Geo viewer, this is not that different than here's a tribe of pygmies that lives in India or something like that. It's just we're looking at people in their own environments and giving the audience a chance to see that.
Yeah, and we just explore it for what it is.
Fascinating. Tuesday nights at 10 on Nat Geo. That sounds like quite an episode tonight. The episode is called Secret Passions, by the way. The man thinks he's a dog, the Satanist who paints with blood, and the dominatrix with her ponies. I'm very concerned about.
Bean's only concerned about the animals, none of the people.
I'm very concerned about the pony and the dog. All right, Sally Ann, I can't believe, my dear, that our time is already up, but it's so great to see you again.
Thank you, thank you.
You do the Lord's work.
You really are doing the Lord's work. Thanks so much. You're
off
welcome back anytime. Petros Papadakis joins us in studio next here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking sports, Ralph. That's why he's here, is to talk about the NHL finals, talk about the NBA finals. Uh-huh. Come on.
Talk about our favorite sport, The Bachelorette.
That's what I was afraid of. I was afraid we might go down that path.
First, though, Ralph. Brandon and Bryden last night. They made the biggest impressions.
We don't have time for that.
Bryden, like Bryden's a name.
It's 5 till 9. We better get right to the showbiz.
It is showbiz. Bachelorette last night. First one-on-one dates. Dez and Brooks. I think Brooks. Brooks is the front runner, in my opinion.
Stop it.
He's got a Tom Brady kind of thing going on. Good looking fella, seems to be nice enough.
Stop it.
Very emotional. Very. Time for another guest. I got tickets to give away to a movie called The Internship.
Yay!
Is that it?
Yep.
You want to give any further instructions or?
What more do you need? You know, the movie Internship starring Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson. Two guys in their 40s who find their careers torpedoed. They have to find a new place to work. Well, they want to get the coveted internship at Google. Because they're at Google. It's like Disneyland for adults. There's water
like
slides
camp.
And they give you just cotton candy and it's magical. Internship is in theaters everywhere on Friday, June the 7th. You, my friends, will see it at our special K-Rock screening on June the 6th at the Arclight in Hollywood. You know that's my favorite theater in the world. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and you will get your tickets, first five, to The Internship.
That's this Thursday and Friday.
That's crazy. Right. That's the only ship that doesn't run aground, baby. The Internship. Okay. We put that on the poster. Backdoor teen mom, Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson?
Yeah, whatever. She's got good news. She won't be doing any time for her DUI, even though she blew a .147. And she fought with the cops trying to arrest her, and she refused to take a field sobriety test. Well, her lawyers worked out a deal with the Douglas County DA's office in Nebraska and said, if we plead guilty, you just get a slap on the wrist, a little probation. So they did that, $500 fine, and they suspended her driving privileges.
I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
However, men of all shapes and sizes will continue to be able to drive Farrah, so that's all that matters. Waiting for the sequel. Waiting for Backdoor Teen Mom 2. Michael Douglas. Now there's some controversy about his oral sex throat cancer story. His representative said, no, it was a mistake. Michael was merely stating the fact that some people can get cancer from the HPV virus.
But he was denying that Michael said that?
Didn't say it happened to him in particular.
Oh, okay.
That was the cause of his particular cancer. However, The Guardian now has come forward today and said they're standing by their story, and Michael did say that's how he got his cancer. So I don't know who to believe now. Now my faith in humanity is shattered. I don't know what's going on.
I'm guessing that what's going on is that Michael Douglas got a frosty reception at home that night after that story broke, and Catherine Zeta-Jones was not so pleased with being pinned as the victim.
But why would you assume it was Catherine Zeta-Jones?
I didn't.
Because
I didn't either.
Married to her for all these years?
For like what?
But he could have had
years?
That
he was
virus
a star in the
70s.
Yeah.
Right. But I thought he
had
just...
nine. He was at a he was a sex addict.
Yeah.
His
right.
First
but
wife
I thought
because he was a sex addict.
Oh, really?
So how just many women do you think he had between 1970 and 1995 or whenever he married Catherine Zeta-Jones?
One too many.
I was thinking that he got the cancer in the last 10 years as a result of exposure to something. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, well, the cancer's, you don't get it immediately afterwards. I mean, it happens after years and years and years of having the virus.
Can you imagine having to go back and
never,
try and contact all those women?
No.
Like you would have any way of doing it.
You couldn't. The CIA, FBI's combined forces couldn't track down that legion of women. Well, Al Pacino, talking about his career in London over the weekend. Talked to had some interesting stories. First of all, he called the Godfather saga a long, awful, tiring story.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't he win an Academy Award for playing Michael Corleone?
I don't know.
Is that just,
I think he would be grateful for that role.
Is that from his point of view of filming it?
Maybe. Maybe that's what he felt emotionally had a toll on him or something. But I thought that was an interesting quote. But more importantly, he talked about roles that he passed on that he could have been starring in. For example, he could have starred in Pretty Woman. He could have had Julia Roberts.
He could have been Julia Roberts?
Okay. He could have had Julia Roberts.
Oh, had her.
Yeah.
Huh.
He could have been either a Marlon Brando or Martin Sheen's role in Apocalypse Now.
The horror. The horror.
Could have been, ooh-ah. Oh, the horror. The horror!
It's funny, once these actors make it their own, you can't see Al Pacino doing that.
The most surprising role he turned down, however, Han Solo in Star Wars. Apparently, Lucas offered to everybody in Hollywood except Harrison Ford.
Really?
He didn't want to work with somebody he'd worked with before already, and they had worked together in American Graffiti. And so Harrison was building shelves out in the anteroom outside the casting office, and eventually Lucas had him just come in just to read opposite different Lukes and stuff and Leahs, and eventually said, okay, I guess he's the best one. But they offered it to Pacino, who turned it down because he said he didn't understand the script. James Caan, Kurt Russell, Christopher Walken.
Wow.
Get on the Millennium Falcon, Chewie. Let's make the jump to light speed. May the force be with you. So, surprising the career Al could have had instead of his just miserable failed career he has now. No one knows him. He doesn't ever work. Poor guy. Today's celebrity birthdays: Bar Raphael, he's 28 years old today. Angelina Jolie is 38, as is Russell Brand. Noah Wiley's 42. Scott Wolf, the actor from V and Party of Five, is 45. Stefan Lessard of the Dave Matthews Band turns 39 today. Singer Al B. Shure is 45. And El DeBarge!
Do I have to play?
We're kind of late, aren't
we? Yeah, we are late. We're late.
52 years old. Just give me a little Who's John. Just give me two. All right, that's good enough. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You know, it's going to be a game-time decision.
Wow, look at the pee coming in here, throwing shade on his old friends Kevin and Bean. We're just doing the best we can here, Pat.
Yeah,
what's going on,
shade
buddy?
Over your way. No, I just was a little jealous you guys did a more informational interview with Luke Robitaille than Matt and I did yesterday.
Petros is here, of course, the co-host of the Petros and Money Show on Fox Sports Radio, weekday afternoons at AM 570. P, what's going on, man? I feel like we haven't talked to you in a million years. How's the little
What are you talking about? I was on the show last week.
Yeah, but we tried to forget that.
You haven't been in here in a long time. I'm saying it's been a long time.
And part of it is because fatherhood has made me a less responsible person.
Less responsible.
Yes, but I have told Dave, the King of Mexico, that I am now more dependable than ever.
Why?
Because I have refocused, like Stuart Smalley. I've looked in the mirror and done a daily affirmation. And if Kevin and Bean want me to get in the car for 2 hours with my fast track and take the 110 up and then Venice across and just bootleg it into West L.A., then that's what I'm going to do. That's why it's great to be here.
I'm sorry we're out of time, P. Thanks so much for coming by, man. Good to see you. All right, let's start with this because Christine, associate producer
of
the Kevin and Bean Show, you know little Christine in the other room. She found an interesting statistic that I guess I sort of knew, but it blew me away to see it in stark black and white. 14 years in a row, the NBA Finals have included either the Spurs, the Lakers, or the Heat. That's some dominant franchises right there. 14 years in a row, there hasn't been an NBA Finals without one of those teams. Pete, your thoughts?
Well, it's very interesting.
And over to you, Pete.
Thank you. Back to you. Kobe Bryant plays for the Lakers.
Yes.
Shaq played for the Lakers.
Yeah.
The Heat had Shaq for a while and Dwayne Wade, and now they have LeBron James.
Sure.
And the Spurs have the best coach in basketball, along with Tim Duncan and that flying French frog, Tony Parker, and the big-nosed Manu Ginobili. It's an individual sport.
Yeah.
Basketball is the closest thing you can get to a team sport to have individuals shine the way they do.
Yeah.
I mean, in football, we talk about Peyton Manning, we talk about quarterbacks and stuff, but the quarterback always gets too much credit and too much blame. In basketball, it really is generally about that guy. So when you look at franchises that have that guy and he plays for what, 8, 9, 10 years, then it does kind
of
make sense.
Yeah,
I'm just glad it's not Indiana versus San Antonio. Because I think they would have canceled the NBA.
This would be fun. That would have ended it?
Yeah, but this is a good NBA Finals because it's a contrast in styles.
I hate the Spurs so much.
Why?
Because
you're a Laker guy?
Well, no, not only that. No. I don't hate them.
They're not boring.
They're super boring.
Oh, Manu Ginobili is one of the most exciting players I've ever seen.
Tim Duncan. is...
He has a wizard
he's
tattoo.
He's the bane of my existence. He's so terrible.
Why? Because he's why. Got a blank face?
Yes. Because most players...
He's from the Virgin Islands. He don't know no better.
Most players understand that you showboat it a little. You get the crowd into it. You get everybody excited. That's what happens with the Clippers. That's what happened with the Lakers for all those years.
Yeah, and are they in the finals?
That's what LeBron James does. You know what I mean? Like, all the great players know it's got to be showtime out there.
Well,
except for Tim Duncan, who's the most boring, fantastic NBA player alive.
Well, I can't disagree with you.
Boring.
It's not necessarily the most exciting brand of basketball, but I have a tendency to enjoy somebody who goes about their work in a very meticulous...
With zero emotions.
Yeah, I do, actually. I like
that. He's a robot.
Because he is who he is.
I don't like
him. And he's not trying to be anybody beyond that. And he's a big man. I mean, how flashy was Shaq? He was just fat. He used to sit back there and just throw the ball
up. That's not true. He used to run back and forth and he made faces.
Oh, he used to smile and he was in Kazam and he was a genie.
No, but I'm saying there's all about getting the crowd into it. And Tim Duncan has none.
No, it's interesting. The man is not boisterous.
No. To hear you say that, Kevin, I think you make a good point because there are bands that we love that are great musically. They put out terrific records. And then you see them on stage and they just stand there and there's zero energy.
Yeah.
They may be playing the songs perfectly. They may sound great, but they're kind of boring. What?
I believe the word you're looking for is wooden.
Sure.
Okay. He's just kind of a wooden star.
Yeah.
But what do you want? I mean, his coach is all pockmarked and Edward James almost out. Pockmarked. I mean, it's a gnarly, gritty thing. And I've been to San Antonio and been into that stadium. It's not like the basketball. Kevin, you're used to doing what? Taking a helicopter with Kobe over to the Laker game.
That's how you do it. Tom Cruise, Beckham
on your lap.
Right.
And watching the game with Jack Nicholson.
In general.
Okay, yeah. The Spurs, it's a little different. You're either like a cowboy or a thug, and I thought I was going to get shanked over there. I mean, it was kind of a gnarly deal.
So who should win this series then, Pete?
Oh, I don't know. It's really hard because LeBron James is the best player on the planet. I know there's a lot of guys going, no, it's Kobe! It's not. It's LeBron James.
Look, that argument could be made for either one. Agreed.
No.
For either one.
The best player on the planet today is LeBron James. So whenever you have the best player... You can usually find a way because he somehow does everything in games. But he does need some support. But let's be honest.
And he got it last night.
Dallas was a team that, he needed it to win. Dallas is a team that spread out the floor when they played Miami in the finals a couple years back. And they moved the ball around really well. And they really frustrated Miami. And they were able to win that series.
Right.
And San Antonio is actually really good at the same thing. So we'll see how much Miami has adjusted from that first NBA Finals that they lost. This is their third straight. And LeBron James is amazing.
Yeah.
But there does feel to be, just to me, a certain amount of, I don't know, insincerity or just the whole Miami thing is just generic to me.
What do you mean?
They can barely sell tickets in the stadium
because
everybody,
true?
Yeah, everybody's dating a supermodel. Everybody in Miami is a DJ. Nobody has time to actually do anything. If you go into the...
They have trouble selling tickets in Miami?
Gap for Kids. Gap for Kids has a DJ. It's Paul Oakenfold. I mean, that is Miami. And they all are wearing white and everybody's like all into this really manufactured team. And here's Pat Riley in his suit. It does feel insincere to me, but they are amazing. Amazingly fast to watch them play defense and all that.
They're one of the teams that's fun to watch, like the Clippers were this year. They were a fun team to watch.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
But the Clippers are not in the NBA Finals.
No, I understand
San Antonio
that.
Spurs are.
I know.
So you can
boring.
Root for Flash and Styrofoam.
I'm hooked on...
And some will root for Substance in the San Antonio Spurs.
I'm hooked on Stanley Cup Finals. Sorry. I got no time for
that.
What
if the Kings don't make it?
I'll still watch.
You're still going to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, of course.
No, that's not.
Petros Papadakis is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, part of the PMS radio show, weekday afternoons on Fox Sports Radio. Let's take a break when we come back. No Bachelorette, though, right? We're still going to
We're going to do Pac-12 spring football. A lot of interesting stuff happened this year in the spring, guys.
Good time. Congratulations to Jason Hashimoto from Los Angeles. Just qualified for that trip for two to the Reading Festival, which is going to be in London, England, featuring Green Day, System of a Down, Eminem, The Lumineers, Imagine Dragons, Phoenix, and a whole bunch more. Your chance to win again coming up today at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Why is Ralph in here?
Desiree, Desiree.
No. Ralph, we were doing fine with Petros as our guest because we were talking sports. You don't need to muddy the waters with your bachelorette.
I've been here for like an hour, but let me tell you right now, the journey's beginning.
That's right.
Are you here for all the right reasons, Pete?
The right reasons. The right reasons. I be loving Daz and all the four seasons. There was rap. There was a rap performance last night on the Bachelorette guys on the group date.
Yeah.
They got all the dudes together. They emptied out the toolbox and they brought out a very relevant rapper, like a guy for today.
Yeah.
They came out. I heard they were going to get Chief Keef, but he's had some legal problems recently.
So who was it?
Soulja Boy. They brought out Soulja Boy, and he taught them dudes how to rap. Oh. And they rapped. They rapped about other stuff that happened in The Bachelor and The Bachelorette from like before.
They played different characters.
Yeah,
previous
they did a
Bachelors
video. And okay. Dez rapped, and she said, "I'm here for the right reasons. The right reasons. I'll be loving Dez in all the four seasons."
First of all, Pete, did you hear that we
there's
had
four seasons in a year?
See,
no, we got it. Did you hear that
summer,
we had
spring, fall,
Desiree,
winter?
Because this is 18 seasons of The Bachelor.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Bean. I'm sorry.
Did you hear that we had Desiree the Bachelorette on our show with us yesterday?
You mean
we had her on the
Desiree Hartsock?
Yes, right. We talked to her yesterday, and I resisted the urge to ask why she's a dumb whore, but I'm going to ask you,
she's not.
Why do you care whether this woman that you don't know gets a date or not?
Oh,
why are you so invested in this show?
Wait. I don't care if she gets dates. There are going to be dates.
Oh,
there's going to be date cards.
Right.
There's going to be individual dates.
Group dates.
There's going to be one-on-ones. There's going to be group dates. Okay. And there's going to be the double date where there's only one rose.
That's right.
And
one goes home.
And you get the one rose.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Other guy leaves with his bag, with his Kipling bag across his back, headed back to Chicago to do investment banking.
What's happening?
See you later, loser. Bye.
Then the fantasy suites.
Oh.
They step up at the end.
Hey,
the fantasy suites.
You can forgo your room.
That's right.
For the opportunity to stay in the fantasy suite with Dez.
And you know what happens?
And have protected sex.
That door gets closed, man. Cameras aren't allowed.
Yeah,
who
knows what they do?
Who knows what
they could read Curious George to each other. Now, I don't like Dez's look this year.
You're high. She's beautiful.
She is gaunt.
She's adorable.
Was she in here in person, Cameron?
No, she's on the phone.
Oh.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Look, she looks like a praying mantis.
No, she doesn't.
She's gaunt.
She's gorgeous.
I liked her. She was chubbier last season.
You see her in that green dress last night? She was wearing her ass. Looks spectacular in that
dress. She does have some ass.
Oh, she's got a great ass.
Yeah, she got a great ass.
Here are some of the boys auditioning for Soulja Boy to decide who's going to be in the rap video.
You better listen to this clip for the right reasons now.
Dez looks very fine. I wish she was mine. I hope that she's my Valentine.
My name is Michael. I'm here for the right reasons. I'm ready to commit to Dez for more than just four seasons.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and none of you are getting a rose.
He didn't do so well. He was in the background of
that
the video.
That was on TV?
Uh-huh.
Oh, not only was it on TV, I had to shove my head under three pillows because I was so embarrassed for those men.
Yeah.
That's why I watch.
Were
I
you embarrassed
like
for yourself?
Yeah, I hate myself.
Okay, good.
I've learned to hate myself with this Bachelor stuff, and I've been doing it for years. But here's the thing. And Ralph is much more positive about the show than I am, but I watch. How many times is she going to say amazing?
Every time she says fairy tale, she says amazing, by
I'm
the way.
I'm tired of it. I can't take. And you know what? I don't need the hard sell. I see she got a nice ass.
Right.
All right? No, I don't need the hard sell. Oh, I want to be someone's wife. And before, at the beginning of every show, I mean, we could cut an hour out if we just got the, you know, it's crazy.
Wait,
to
it's
think
more
that,
than an hour?
It's 2 hours.
What? Every episode's 2 hours, yeah.
But
two
these
hours
dudes,
of magic.
Are you crazy?
But Kevin, you got the first solo date with Brooks, which was amazing on top of the Hollywood
that
sign.
It was great.
I liked him.
Yeah,
he was very genuine. He got emotional.
Yeah, he's got like a Tom Brady look to
him. Yeah, I didn't like his Bruce Hornsby hair, but
other than that.
You can
work on
that. Did you guys say it was 2 hours?
2 hours.
Then
what?
The group date with the music video. Then Braden.
Braden, the ex-Iraq war veteran, Montana Mountain man, took her out on a road trip, and they went to an orange grove, and they held hands, and they ran amongst the oranges.
Yeah, I don't think Braden's a real name, by the way. I don't think you can have that as a name.
That's
but
true.
Brandon.
I think it's Bryden.
Bryden, yeah. Right. And Brandon was really upset because he was observing everyone, and he's,
do you guys know
he's
on
sort
the
of the stalker.
People are down on Ben.
Yeah,
because
Ben's
taking her when she's talking to other guys.
And he had the rose. He already had a rose.
So he was going to stay around. So why are you going to try to get extra time with Dez? And you don't deserve that extra time with Dez.
And Brandon saw that. He was very upset. And here's what he had to say about his love for Dez.
If you force something, it's just not going to work. You know, a butterfly, right? Love is like a butterfly. You hold it in your hand, and you hold it too loose, it's going to fly away.
Right.
If you hold it too tight, it's going to die. And so I'm not going to be the guy to squish.
He's not going to be the squisher. He's not going to squish love.
Right in the middle.
He's not going to squish love.
That guy's a little emotional.
He's a psychopath.
He's breathing like a panther whenever he gets around her.
He's a stalker. He's a psychopath.
Ralph, the one thing I can't take is before every date, these guys sit here, and you can hear the producer off air asking, so, isn't it crazy to think you could be going out on your first date with your future wife?
How's that feel?
And the guys are just like, yeah, that is crazy. I mean, it's just crazy to think that Dez could be my future wife. Hey,
write it down in your diary.
And none of us do that, like, you know, in the world of dating. Like, when people go out on a date, it's like, yeah, I'm taking this girl to Dantana's. I'm trying to get lucky.
No.
You know, it's not like, you know.
This could be the first date with your future wife at Dantana's.
And you know what? It turned out to be.
See that?
Yeah.
So the producers are right and you're wrong.
I didn't say anything. I'm just saying we don't need it every single show.
Hey, B.
We can cut an hour out.
Can we hear a little of the rap? Kevin? Can we hear a little of the rap, a little of the
right reasons.
What you doing,
the
B?
The right reasons.
Just hanging out.
I'll be finding love.
Just hanging out. Just waiting for this to end.
All divorce season.
You got to run out of steam at some point,
you online
right?
Or anything you want to talk about?
Yeah,
play me some rap. Hey, I'm coming in here every single week. I'm going to be a fixture here on Tuesday.
We will see if that's the case.
Well, you said I couldn't come last week, and look who's here. Booyah! Sitting right here in front of you in my sweats.
What do you want me to play, Ralph?
Hit it, Steve.
Right. What up? This is your boy, Soulja Boy. Tell him.
What's up, Soulja Boy?
Let's get it. Let's go. Right reasons. Right reasons. Me and pretty girl for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
Right reasons. Right reasons. Me and pretty girl for all the reasons.
I'm the bachelorette and I'm rapping to your poolside. Here to find true love, one man for my whole life. Last time you saw me, I was crying in a limo. Sean sent me home and put my heart in limbo. Dating all these guys really ain't that easy. I'm looking for a husband, not abs and a cheesy. Smile for the camera, let's go on a date. Will he be a dud, just okay, or maybe fade?
Step up.
Right reasons, right reasons. Me and pretty girl for all the right reasons.
We're out of time.
Right reasons,
yeah.
Right reasons. Me and pretty girl for all the right reasons.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
That's what I'm saying.
I love you, and I appreciate the effort.
Word
but
up.
Nothing that you and Ralph are saying about the show is going to convince anybody to want to watch it.
What
that
I'm saying
horrible.
Is if you want to feel better about yourself on a Monday night, and I personally hate myself.
Okay.
Right?
So this is a good two-hour
exercise?
When
I watch these guys just twack out about a girl and it's all a trick, I know a lot of the camera guys, people that work on The Bachelor, and for years, they said, God, sometimes I just want to put the camera down and grab one of these guys and be like, hey, this is a trick. There's just one chick here. I mean, you guys are going nuts over this. It's not that big of a deal. But that's, I don't know. I just, the embarrassment of it and these cheeseball guys, it blows me away. Two disappointments. The hashtag guy that says hashtag before everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Casey. He stopped saying hashtag.
No more hashtag, I know.
Wasn't that his thing?
And
that
then they got
thing.
Rid of the black guy.
You can't take away a guy's thing.
Well, of course they did.
When a black guy makes it out of Malibu and they start to travel the world, like the first two episodes are in Malibu and now they start to travel the world. They're going to go to like Turks and Caicos or something.
Right.
No black guy's black ever guys gotten ever on a travel. Plane for The Bachelor.
No, they don't travel. They're not on the travel squad.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't get it. I mean, can we get at least, I'm not asking her to pick one of the black guys. I'm just saying, can you take one of those guys to Brussels? Can one of the black guys walk with you hand in hand in Dubrovnik?
Can a brother get some Brussels? That's what you're saying.
Exactly right.
But he did have a cock eye. He had that cock eye, though. That's the only
he
thing.
Had an eye in the breeze.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
You guys should
have a floater. He had one of his eyes was a floater.
You guys should have a phone conversation every Tuesday where you can do this
Why
forever.
Do that? Well, we can do it here and entertain all of our many listeners who also watch The Bachelorette.
I got in my car for this.
Yeah, for the to talk NBA.
It no, I don't know. Clearly, I know nothing about basketball.
Less
yeah,
about
those
hockey.
Guys are tall. You know, they're going to throw the ball in the hoop. Let's talk Bachelorette.
That's right.
Now, how tall is Dez?
How
tall did she seem
we
on the phone?
Take a break. So.
We actually
she
are
seemed
out of
like
now.
5'9". I think she's That's got too some tall, good, but good, good thing she's got a big, strong
Guys, thank you, gentlemen.
I think we have to go. I apologize.
Good in those wedding dresses, too. Kevin, I feel like we were one of those families. The tornado came and just destroyed every house in the neighborhood, but ours were just so lucky to have escaped with our lives, having survived that Bachelor conversation with Petrus and Ralph.
It should never happen again.
Oh, that was tough, man.
I'll take that from a lot of people.
Two hours.
Not from the guy who wants to have conversations about the mold museum and the history of the mustard seed and what's your favorite font? I don't want to hear from that guy about something that people actually do watch in the millions.
I wrote for 15 minutes this morning on something. I can't remember
I'm
what it
sure
was.
You did. So I'll take it from anyone else in this room, but I'm not going to take it,
Ralph,
from the Maritime Museum guy. I'm not going to take that.
Me being bad doesn't make you not bad. You understand that they're not related.
Well, I'm just
right?
saying to talk about something that millions of people also watch and follow versus anything you've ever said once. It's just as a big discrepancy.
You're going to put that up against anything he's ever said
ever.
In his life.
Ever.
That's racist.
Well,
all
that's
right,
true.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat now here at a Tuesday Kevin to Beach.
I do hate Bean's race. Whatever race he is, I do hate it.
It's Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD. Here's what you can pick up with your entertainment dollars. Like Clockwork.
That's a good album.
Queens of the Stone Age.
By the way, I think they put the video up of the interview at krock.com.
What?
From Josh Homme, who was in this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, that's fantastic.
That's remarkable work for our website staff. I know. Usually they're not that crackerjack.
They told me eight, but I waited for a bit because I didn't believe them.
In a Tidal Wave of Mystery by Capital Cities. The Sun Comes Out Tonight by Filter. Well, that's just nonsensical. The sun doesn't come out at night. We all know that. Come on, Filter. Get your act together.
I don't think they're being scientifically correct.
Science. There. Open up a blog, Filter. Evil Friends by Portugal the Man. Here on DVD, you can get A Good Day to Die Hard if you're a completist and you want to see all the Die Hard movies, then I suppose you have to watch this one.
I saw it. You know, I've seen them all.
Yeah. Why would you see this one?
Just because it's one of them.
But seriously.
And I love the whole franchise.
How much did you love this one?
It wasn't great.
Okay. Warm Bodies, the romantic comedy zombie movie with Nicholas Hoult, Teresa Palmer, and John Malkovich, also available on DVD today. Identity Thief with Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy. Escape from Planet Earth, animated family fare with Brendan Fraser, Sarah Jessica Parker, and James Gandolfini. And if you have to watch Sarah Jessica Parker, animated, that's the way to go,
in my opinion. I agree.
TV shows on DVD. If you missed Breaking Bad, the fifth season, you can pick that up today. Falling Skies, the complete second season, and the third season of Pretty Little Liars is also available. While we're talking about Pretty Little Liars, Farrah Abraham in the news.
Abramson.
Nice work.
Farrah Abramson.
Backdoor Teen Mom. Farrah Abraham will not have to serve even a day behind bars for her DUI.
That
seems
lucky.
She struck a deal with prosecutors that involved her and vegetable oil and various vegetables.
Where's the outrage there?
In the wobbly H.
In the wobbly H. She pled guilty, and that means she gets off with just probation and a fine. Doesn't seem quite fair somehow. She blew a .147. That's nearly twice the legal limit.
They don't usually let people plead those down if they're that high, do they?
I mean,
that's a lot of alcohol.
She's got a $500 fine. That's all.
Yeah,
that seems light, doesn't it? Now, here's the thing. It took place in Nebraska. Maybe in Nebraska they encourage drinking and driving. Who knows? I'm not sure how they work there. But she also had a disorderly conduct charge for arguing with the police when they arrested her, and she refused to take the field sobriety test, another charge. Those apparently will be dropped as part of this plea bargain. So she gets nothing.
She gets nothing, and then they have to drop everything. What kind of deal is that?
It's a good one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay.
Kevin, update, by the way, is no Queens of the Stone Age interview at all at KRock.com.
Oh!
It is not available, nowhere for people to see it.
He
it's
told me yesterday, happening. 8 a.m., and I thought, I'm not going to say 8 a.m. because there's no way they'll have it up that fast.
I figured at 9:46
I'd be safe.
I double-checked with Dave, and they are, in fact, still working on it, but it's not available yet. But we'll be at some point today.
It'll be up at some point today.
Right.
So we're talking about celebrities turned porn stars. Nathaniel Marshall, one of the American Idol contestants back on season 8. He's got a brand new career. He is now in male adult entertainment.
Do you want extra sausage?
You go first.
Too late. Mine's gone.
Do
you want extra sausage?
He is in a new movie called Men Caught on Video 2. I'm caught having sex with these other dudes.
What do I do?
What a surprise, cameraman. He's going now by the stage name of Jaden Daniels. So if you're looking for some Jaden Daniels.
Won't that confuse all of his fans who followed him from the American Idol days under his real name?
But everybody was waiting for their Nathan Marshall album to drop. Instead, they get Jaden Daniels caught on video. And Daniel Day-Lewis and Benicio del Toro are walking down the street in Brooklyn. Is this a joke?
Exactly.
No.
They go to a bar with a Pope.
No. They're walking down the sidewalk, and they get creamed by a skateboarder. Imagine you're this guy. You run into two guys on your skateboard in Brooklyn. You fall down. You look up, and there's Lincoln and the Wolfman staring back at you. As luck would have it, the guy was an aspiring actor. He apologized to the two A-listers, and they had a conversation about his career. He said they could not have been nicer and more gracious. They wished him luck, and then they were on their way.
I drink your milkshake.
That's what Daniel Day-Lewis said. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bar Raffaelli's 28 years old today. Actress Angelina Jolie celebrates her 38th birthday. Did you see her on the red carpet for World War Z, by the way? First appearance since her
surgery.
She looked beautiful. Yep. Russell Brand, also 38 today. Stefan Lessard, or Lessard, of the Dave Matthews Band, is 39 years old today. Noah Wyle, very talented actor, 42. Scott Wolf from Party of Five and the V TV series is 45. He does not look 45, that's Scott Wolf.
No. No, he doesn't.
I'll Be Sure, the singer, is 45 years old today. And singer Elle DeBarge is 52. Oh, oh, to the beat of the rhythm of the night.
That guy's 52. Do you think his voice has changed by now?
The dance crowd.
The rhythm of the night.
The dance floor is getting crowded.
It's not happening at all.
You guys are no fun. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Ethan Hawke is the star of The Purge.
Your government thanks you.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome.
But I don't care about The Purge. What about The Binge? Is the night before The Binge? That's the night I want to party on. I don't care about The Purge. You got to get The Binge first and then you purge.
Bob Odenkirk is going to be here talking about Breaking Bad on DVD. Very excited about that. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage as well. And the moment you stopped watching one of your favorite TV shows, something upset you so much you gave up on
Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
A lot of people upset about that.
A lot of blood. Talk about that tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin and Bean Show.